Taking forever to upload. I don't know what the deal is with that. I don't know if it's just
Vine. The Comedy Store has a secret dark spot of not being able to access any sort of internet.
Really?
Or yeah, it's just weird. The evil that when the souls were sacrificed to create the place, it
So you think I have to walk like a block away, or just to like
just
the
off
hotel?
The exact property? I think that's when Beelzebub made the deal that only on the exact property. So the sidewalk is fine.
All right. So I'll try to upload it when I'm walking away from this place.
How are you? What a great fucking day.
Yeah, it's very very nice here in Los Angeles, and also very quiet right here in front of the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard.
This is the guy who did my...
Until a guy walked up.
Who did my special with me. Hi, Mark.
How are you? Good to see you, man.
Yeah. See people randomly walk by. This is Doug Benson.
Hey, how's it going?
This is Mark Hostved.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we can watch random people walk by. What are you guys doing? Going to lunch?
Can I take a picture of you guys?
Sure. Put it up on all the social media about this podcast that's going down right now.
I feel like we're doing one of those live radio remotes that gets nobody shows up.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to be down at Spanky's.
Yeah.
From 8 to 10.
We've been here since 5. Looking so long at these pictures of you. Never hold on to your heart. Looking so long for the words to be true. You're always just breaking your heart.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. On today's episode of Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. It's Ari Shaffir. So I talked to Doug Benson for this episode. We had a talk once in Las Vegas, like a year and a half ago. We just talked about girls and stuff. And it came up, this idea of like, he mentioned a couple girls that really hurt him. Couple that got away but they played an important role in his development or something, emotional development. And I related to it immediately. I had like a few girls, the same thing. I had three girls that I just can't, they're just always gonna stick in me. And so I wanted to talk about that with him. I texted him once or twice and he didn't respond, but I really wanted to do it. And I'm really glad he finally was like, yeah, let's do it. And then I ran into him, and he was like, let's make this a Valentine's Day episode. Fucking perfect. Why not? So we met at the Comedy Store, and we talked about a couple of those girls that sort of got away from him. Not got away from him. That's the wrong way to put it. But just, you know, the ones that just stick with you. Like, I always think about that person. For me, I have three chicks that I think of all the time. Not think of all the time, but, you know. It's just, you never, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so Doug had the unfortunate problem of having all of his girls, two girls, in the comedy scene. I only had to deal with it with one. But man, it sucks when you have to run into them and stuff. So we talked about this. This is for the Valentine's Day for people who, you know, aren't in a loving relationship right now. Or the people who can still relate, even if you are in one. Like, even when I was still going out with girls that I was in love with. I never got over Kate, over my first girl, my first girlfriend. I would never like get over. I would always think about her from time to time. They just get you harder than it needs to be. Like, you know, sometimes you go out with a girl for like 6 months, you break up, you're like, whatever. And sometimes you go out with a girl for 6 months, you break up, and you're like, fuck, and you can't get over for like a year, or 3 years, or 5 years, whatever it is. I don't know what it is. We don't come to an answer on this podcast. I don't know what it is that gets certain girls that just get to you. Brian Holtzman told me this once. It was just like, just this feeling of like, I'm not done playing with that. And when you really can't get over that feeling of I'm not done playing with that, it sticks with you harder. Nah, it's not just that. Anyway, so this podcast is brought to you by two things. One, my special that's out now, Ari Shaffir. That's me. I made a special. It's on chill.com. You can go to my website, arithegreat.com, and there's a banner right at the top. But you just go to chill.com, and it's there. It's my special. I recorded at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn in December. All different material than was on my CD. I know the CD was only released 5 months ago, but it was recorded like a year ago. The material was done anyway like a year ago. So this is 14 months of me working hard and planning out new material. It's an hour and 12 minutes, and it's only $4.99. And if you want, while you're there, you can get a t-shirt, a passive-aggressive t-shirt, or a poster. The poster is really cool. So this is really cool dragon design. But if you guys all just get it, if you all would just get it right now, that would help me make all the money back for them for the shoot. And then I could be like, cool, this experiment paid off. I'm just self-releasing it. If everyone just went there right now, with thechill.com, you can pay on PayPal or on credit card. And you get like 5 downloads and 5 streams. You can play on your phone. Anyway, just go get my thing. And then if you do get it, tell all your friends and show your friends. Play it for them. You have it on your computer. You can play it whenever. Okay. And also, it's brought to you by Amazon.com. If you guys are doing any shopping, I don't know what holidays are coming up. What are we in? February. If you get your big President's Day shopping done, it's too late to say anything about pro flowers for Valentine's Day. But go to Amazon.com. If you go to Amazon.com and do shopping, which you should, especially if you don't live in California or like Texas or Ohio, one of those, where you don't have to pay sales tax if you get Amazon. It's so much cheaper than buying in a store. But anyway, regardless, if you go to my website, arithegreat.com, and click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side, and then it takes you to Amazon, then you just do your shopping as is, then they give me like a few percent, a few dollars back on every dollar you spend. So if you spend $100, I think I get like $3 or $4. So just consistently do it. It would really help out this podcast. But the suggestion I heard was, somebody said they got all their textbooks with it. If you're a student and you're going to get textbooks, fuck yeah, do that. Your parents are paying for it anyway, so slide some of that shit back to me. It doesn't cost you anything regardless. So it's not going to punish your parents. If you want to punish your parents, date a black guy when you get to college. That worked in my day. Never for me. What would it be like to date a... this is getting borderline racist. Anyway, so yeah, do that to support the show. But get the special. That's the first things first. The special, passive aggressive. Go to chill.com now. All right, let's start the episode. What do you think? Oh, I should do some dates. I am now working on my new hour. Everything I did, by the way, North Carolina, I got to like 50 minutes of stuff that was not on the special or was brand new from the time of recording. So it's not bad already. I'm getting solid laughs. It needs to get better and richer and stuff, but it's pretty fun already. So March 1st and 2nd, I'm in Long Island at Governor's. That's March 1st and 2nd. These are all the dates you can get tickets for on my website. I'm in Vancouver at the Comedy Mix, March 21st, 22nd, 23rd. I'm not doing Bridgetown. Then I'm at 420 show in Seattle. Hopefully they put it up on the website soon. 420 show in Seattle. Oh, it's good. I mentioned this with Doug Benson. I got the idea from him. They were booked. So I'm doing a 420 in the afternoon show. So every stoner in Seattle and everywhere around there, come the fuck out. Bring everything, every legal piece of marijuana you have, and come out and let's have a great time. And then I'm doing Moon Tower. Big J is going to be there. It's going to be such a good lineup. I just talked about it with that girl from 24/7 Comedy. The lineup is so good. Bill Burr, Jeselnik. Yeah, it should be really fun. So anybody who's doing Moon Tower, who wants to do a comedy festival, it's like the Montreal of America. There's no agents and shit like that. It's just a bunch of comics all over the city of Austin, Texas. So plan a trip. Seriously. If you love comedy, if you're like a nerd about it, plan a trip out to Moon Tower. They have sick comics, and it's great venues. Man, and then the comics just have fun. There's no business to do there. What a fun festival that is. Okay. I think that's it for dates for now. The Storyteller Show was canceled for February. I don't know. All right, let's just do it. Let's start the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 102, the Valentine's Day episode. We shall call it... Did I say where I am? It's at the Parlor in Seattle. It's like just outside Seattle. The Parlor Live. So hopefully there'll be tickets up soon. You can get them. Okay, so here we go. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 102. I'm doing these twice a week until I'm done promoting the special. So get the special. Episode 102, The Ones Who Hurt Me with Douglas Benson.
It hurt, it hurt, it hurt so bad.
So Adam Carolla, you're on hold for 224.
Yeah.
You're the guest, but Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
That's the only date that he can do it. So if he says yes, that's they would bump you.
No, fuck that. I'll do it with O'Reilly. Again, play hardball. Tell him either I do it with O'Reilly.
How many words do you think you'll get to say on a podcast with Adam Carolla and Bill O'Reilly?
The two of them.
They would just be they would just glare at you with eyes that say, "Shut up, Jew."
Yeah. But maybe I, and they were just starting like, all right. Every once in a while, I'd be like, passive aggressive. It's my special. Yeah.
You get a new date from Adam if that doesn't work out.
Yeah, we'll figure it. That's awesome, though. Thanks, Mark. Doug, when are you doing your next special? You should talk to the guys from Chill.
Oh, I am talking to the guys from Chill. It's too soon to say anything,
really?
But
nice.
Yeah, I'm very excited about Chill.
You should do, since you're so associated with marijuana, you should do a podcast from pot.
From?
I don't know what that would mean specifically.
Or how about from, isn't there a city called Weed in California?
Oh, really?
I think there's Weed, California.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be a fun place to do it from.
Ask Doug Benson, he'd know about that. I bet there is.
Let me tweet at him.
All right.
See if he knows.
All right.
Have a great podcast.
Thanks for stopping by. Nice to see you. We'll talk soon. Hey, man.
Usually it takes like more than 1 minute before the people walk by and get interruptions, but I love it. So you're talking to them about doing a special?
That's crazy. I was just saying how quiet and dead it is out here.
Uh-huh.
And guys you know from Chill wander up.
I need
and also didn't have any problem interrupting what was an ongoing podcast.
Oh, yeah.
We were clearly podcasting.
Into microphones.
And they're like,
hey, let me get some news for you.
Let's chat a while about your career.
I probably should have paused it, started over since you're only like 40 seconds in. Maybe that'll just be a teaser.
People will love to listen to that.
Random,
that
you, like off mic.
That you hear. Might get bumped from Adam Carolla by Bill O'Reilly. What has he got a book about now? Did some O'Reilly. Other president.
I used to watch O'Reilly.
Kill vampires.
Watch him when, wait, which one's Bill O'Reilly? He's the guy on like Fox News or MSNBC.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Fox News, never on MSNBC. Oh.
I used to watch him with Mitzi. When I was taking care of her, we'd go. She watched that network on loop all day long, and she would just watch that guy and get mad at him. Oh, that's not. Oh, no, oh, Americans.
That's so weird. There's another channel where they probably say all things she agrees with.
She likes. Yeah, I like how they have the two channels. I don't really watch news enough, but it seems like, hey, no matter what your views, we'll kowtow
well,
to you.
One of them lets the other side talk more, and that's the problem with Democrats in general.
Is that they don't?
Is that they do? It's that they sit around going, we should compromise with the other side. No, the other side is the opposite feelings that you do. Some things, what's the compromise on abortion? You either can have them or you can't. There's no compromise.
I was in North Carolina, and I was talking about abortion, and I finally realized what my real feelings are, is that I totally think it should be legal, but it's murder.
Sure it is.
Yeah, but it's a convenience murder. Like, we don't actually see their smiling faces, so it's okay.
Yeah, but there's so many good reasons for it.
Yeah, like,
you know?
Lame.
Like, my parents turned out to be pretty cool, but if I had shitty parents, I would spend a lot of my life going, an abortion wouldn't have been a bad
call.
Dealing
with them? Yeah, dealing with their relationship with you?
Why did you have me if you're going to be so shitty? But, you know,
abortion
how do
was
people
legal.
Know how shitty they're going to be?
Oh, yeah. I know every like porn star or stripper that I met thinks they're going to be a wonderful mother. I'm like, what are you basing this on?
Did you
on?
See my eyes rolling behind my sunglasses?
It's tough. It's tough. You could see it. It was dark, but you could still see
could
a good roll.
Could you hear it on the podcast? These are strong microphones.
Wait till the tour buses go by. That'll
There's
be fun
a
too.
Half poodle, half lion coming our way. Those are always interesting. It's like a giant. It's like the biggest poodle
oh,
you could
so
have.
Cute. Your dog is awesome.
Hi, doggy. Hi. Oh, yeah.
You ever want to get a dog?
I love dogs, but I'm never home. My building doesn't allow dogs. Do you need more reasons?
No, that's it. I feel like Asian women like that should never get large, meaty dogs just for, to, you know, not let anybody make jokes.
You got to stop people from making jokes. Just
live your life for others. Make sure they can't talk about you. What was I going to say now? I don't know. It was nice seeing you yesterday.
This is
the street.
Yeah, I ran into you when I was driving by in my old car. And
that's one of my favorite things to do in Hollywood. We
hung out and talked.
See somebody while we're walking and just pull over and talk for 10 minutes. I actually do love doing that.
Well, that's, you know, that's the L.A. version. In New York, it's just, you're just on the street.
Run into somebody.
Yeah. You see people all the time that you know there. It's crazy.
I ran into a waitress. Tell me, did you live in New York ever?
For a year when I was doing the marijuana logs there.
Oh, yeah. And you did the off-Broadway thing.
Best year of my life, but I prefer living in L.A.
Because of this nice, beautiful weather?
Yeah, and I also knew that that was going to end the whole time.
So you had an out.
You know, I was like, I just enjoyed how crazy the city is.
Yeah.
And then now I visit, you know, 5-6 times a year because I love it so much.
That's the only thing that kept me like going in like summer jobs where I'm like, August 31st, I'm done. I don't have to worry about 9 to 5.
Yeah.
I can just coast till the end knowing I'm done. Yeah, that probably helped in New York. How was the winter there?
It was brutal. It was really brutal. I think the one that I was there was on the milder side.
Yeah.
But it was still awful.
I'm going in April.
I think I might in April too.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, I had to cut something out here because I'm doing some charity show, I think, but I'm not supposed to announce what it is, so I had to cut out a bunch of like 2 minutes. Nothing major. Let's go back to it.
One of them is for like intensive care for infants.
No, they don't need our help. Let them fucking do something for once. They're cute enough. Take pictures.
That's murder. And then. and then the other one, City of Hope or something like that.
I would like to donate.
It's a good sounding one.
Do you know that those storyteller shows I do, I've been doing them to benefit Planned Parenthood. Because I was like, I don't really want to take the money and divvy out $20 to everybody.
And you want to pick an organization that could potentially get you into some hot water with people?
No, I figured it's something to offset the misogyny that happens on that show constantly.
I guess, that's good. But I guess all your listeners are probably pro-Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, most of them. Even the ones in like North Carolina, like I get that side.
I mean, most of what they do is in abortions. That's the big lie about that place. Yeah. It's mostly just about
But you want to hear something nuts?
Birth control and health.
They wouldn't take our money.
What do you mean?
I mean, they would not take our money. Rita was trying to get them from the improv, was trying to get them to fill out tax forms because so they can get the money straight to them so I don't have to pay taxes on it. And then, you know, so it just goes straight.
Sure.
And she went back and forth with them for a while, and then she got an email saying, we do not want your money at this time. Thank you anyway.
Plan, do not want the parenthood. Money at this time.
Yeah.
We've got it for right now.
Yeah.
We've got this under control.
It was like a few grants.
Did they know who it was coming from?
It's possible. I'm trying to get an answer.
So maybe
like,
maybe the misogynistic, you know, maybe that material
was just too much for
them. Doesn't sit well with them. So
they don't know what the material is.
They don't want your filthy money. They don't want your dirty.
I even sent them a sample
woman-hating
poster
money.
Sarah Silverman's name on it before she canceled once. We're like, see, we have people that you would love. Dirty women-hating money. Yeah. Keep your blood money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to find a new charity.
Well, one that I could recommend is I like the L.A. Food Bank because whenever I give them money, they take it.
Yeah, that's a huge.
And then they turn around and you know, and they give food to people in Los Angeles. And also another good one,
yeah,
is Smile Train.
What is,
you know that one?
Oh,
that's where they go to third world countries and fix kids' faces.
Yeah, Tom Bernard's really into that.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Jimmy Pardo's into it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So I've given some money to them too.
Yeah, they have these cleft palates where it's just like your teeth are coming through your like.
Yeah, they're just their mouth is just completely messed up, and then they fix it, and it's just
their
like
that's
a serious game changer.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm nervous about talking to that girl, dude. Girls will see the inside of you. I drool consistently coming out of my face all the time.
That's kind of hard to meet women.
You know, I told somebody once in college. This guy, way number two. from my dorm. He liked this girl Esther, super hot Asian girl, and he wanted to ask her out. And I was like, just ask her out, man. What's the worst that can happen? She'll say no. And then he went and asked her out in the dining hall, and she laughed at him.
Oh.
And was like, with you? You want me to go out with you? And it was way worse than
the worst. So a private setting would have been a better place to ask, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, I didn't consider that it could have gone
but
that wrong for him.
That's super rude of her.
It really was. But she was pretty and he wasn't.
Hot Asian girl, yeah.
And she was probably 20.
But some other guy is going to come along with a lot of money or whatever and fat and bald and she'll go with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She it was just she knew his station in life plus his looks.
He was nerd. It was pre when nerds cash in.
Well, even now, like you can't just be a random nerd. You got to have some...
Head of Microsoft.
Some
that's
claim
a job.
To fame.
That's a job nerds can do.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. Nerds are making a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's what you got to do, though, is you got to roll up in your dumb sports car.
Were you a nerd in high school?
Oh, yeah. But I don't even know if that's the right word for it because I wasn't even smart.
Oh, just a loser.
I wasn't even like... I was, you know, sort of into books, but I was mostly into acting and...
Really?
Goofing off and not studying.
Yeah, that's my favorite version of nerds was Freaks and Geeks with that tall guy. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, he's not even a good student.
Yeah.
He's just got glasses.
Or a good drummer.
Yeah.
Or wait.
That was undeclared. No, that was Freaks and Geeks.
That
too.
Was Freaks and Geeks, yeah. But he was a freak, not a geek.
Yeah. Man, that was a good show.
That dude, Jason Segel?
Yeah.
He's putting it to Michelle Williams now.
Batman's ex?
Yes.
What? A Joker's ex? Whatever?
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, okay.
So did every listener.
I think he was great.
Yeah, there are a couple now, and she says she's never been happier. Ouch. Poor Heath.
She said that on the grave of Heath Shuler.
I mean, I'm sure they had a super dramatic marriage, Heath and her. But
it must be tough to date a celebrity.
Jason Segel.
When you got to say stuff like that. You have to actively say something major about your relationship or show up on a red carpet with them.
Yeah, or just...
How do you go on a
keep
first
it on
date?
The down low. I know a couple of celebrity couples that are just don't even talk about it anywhere. And
really?
But you also got to be the right kind of celebrity.
What are the names
and
addresses?
You can't be somebody that the tabloids are dying to find stuff out on.
You could be Secretary of Defense.
But Jason Segel and Michelle Williams could have dated forever without anybody knowing.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
How would they do that?
Because they're both famous, but they're both like a, you know, a classier kind of fame. They're not in the tabloids.
Oh, yeah. Is that because... Do stars want that? Is that why it starts happening? Or they're just so famous they can't help it?
Yeah, so famous they can't help it. Or you know, there's just something about them that
everybody
loves. It's got to sell papers.
Paris Hilton.
You know, it's got to be the stuff people want to hear, you know?
Yeah, man. It just must be weird to try to go on a first date with somebody. You know?
And then
they see you like, are you guys a couple? Like, I don't know.
I'm sure they're all very, very sketchy about it and probably... I wouldn't be surprised if those two met on a film or something. It seems like film sets are where most of those kinds of relationships
That's
start.
That's how Owen started going out with Christina Ricci.
Because they were working on a movie together?
Yeah. And it's like Sleepaway Camp, right?
She's marrying some dude.
What?
Yeah.
I'm calling Owen Benjamin right now.
Rubbing it in the day before Valentine's Day?
You have to put a stop to this. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the day before Valentine's Day. That's right.
He probably just watches that movie where she had a disgusting pig nose over and over again. That's how he gets over
make
it.
Make himself feel okay.
Yeah, or he watches Adam's Family movies and goes, she's too young for me. she's 11 in this movie.
She's one of those celebrities where I met her at the improv one day, through Owen. She was like, oh, hi, I'm Christina. I was like, oh, nice to meet you. I try to be cool. But then as soon as she was done, my inside was like,
yeah, she said nice set or something to me when I was in a show with him once, and I was thrilled. I was thrilled she said that to me and jealous that he was with her.
It's weird.
She probably left him because she was in fear of being broken.
What do you mean?
Snapped in two. He's giant man. She's a tiny girl.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like 6'6".
He's big. Not fat, though. Just a big guy.
Yeah, and she really is tiny. Well, happy Valentine's Day. This is my Valentine's Day episode.
That's when it's going to plop?
Yeah. Tomorrow morning at midnight.
So the only... Probably some couples might be listening to it together, but it's mostly going to be people in the same boat as us.
Yeah. Dudes or girls at work that can't be with their significant other or don't want to be.
Guys that don't have a significant other. You don't have a significant other.
Uh-uh. Well, a few, I guess, but nobody likes... Well, yeah, maybe. But, you know, I'm
do they listen to this, those few?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all cool with it?
I don't lie anymore.
What do you, tell them? It's just like that HBO show, Big Love? But with no... With no marriage, no commitment, no,
I tell them like,
no children.
I tell them, like, our time together is our time together. I don't know what else matters.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. That can usually be okay if a girl's into that, too, for, like, up to a year. And then it starts getting like, all right, this is stupid now.
Yeah. It's hard to keep those things going for a long time.
Yeah.
I've had, there's this one girl that, like, every time she'd fall out of a relationship...
She would call you?
A steady one. I would hear from her, or I'd just say, hey, what's up, you know, randomly, and she'd see her
Facebook status change?
Hey, I'm not on Facebook. You. Facebook's for children.
Oh, really?
And that's what I decided when it came out, and then I've never looked back.
Really?
Yeah. There's a fan page for me that people probably write a lot of horrible things
on.
Write
to you.
Yeah, but I don't even look at it.
Man, I just telling you this, you can do whatever you want with the information, but I was in Dallas once, and I used to have this bit about how I really am into, like, young women. Mm-hmm. And I got a direct message on my Facebook fan page, which I didn't check till like, 3 weeks later. I just never checked it. And it said, hey, I'm a young woman, and I'm really into what you were talking about. And she was, like, hot.
Pictures?
She showed a picture, and I looked at her stuff. And it was just, and then I was like, oh, well, I'm gone now. She goes, oh, well, it's too late. But I mean, I went there. Eventually, I hooked up with her. But like, yeah, I was like, I don't want to miss that anymore.
Yeah, I guess. But
it's not worth it.
But you know, Twitter's pretty social.
Oh yeah.
And I'm active on that. And you know, just touring around and doing stuff. I mean, you know, meeting girls is not a problem. The problem is that I don't want a serious relationship, and I also don't want to hurt anybody.
How do you tell them that, then?
I rarely have that conversation.
Really?
Yeah. It's always... I always just kind of hang out with girls that seem to get it.
Yeah, it seems,
you know,
like a girl
I just sort of
get it.
And a lot of them smoke pot, let's be honest.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
If you're stoned all the time, sure, let's throw down. We're stoned. You know, that kind of thing. But I also don't get as much play as people would imagine, because I'm pretty happy. Like, I don't, like, getting laid isn't the number one priority.
Are you are you comfortable just being alone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so used to it.
Yeah.
I travel so much. I sometimes take a buddy with me, but I find myself alone a lot, and I'm just comfortable with it. I don't know how much I'll like it if it gets hard to, you know, if I'm old and it gets hard to walk or something, you know, like.
I guess so.
But even then.
That he wants a family and kids because he worked in, what are those places that see people die? They, like, just see them out?
Sure, hospices. Sure, hospice.
And he said he worked at one and he felt so bad for these people that died alone. So he wants a family. And I'm like, so you're going to get an entire family and have a relationship just on the off chance that you don't die instantly, but you get sick for a month, that maybe you have a good enough relationship that they'll visit you as you die?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like, I don't know. It seems like it's, in some ways, it'd be extra sad to die with loved ones looking at you like they don't want you to.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Wow, she's super hot.
Amazing. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Anorexic.
Do you want to be on a podcast? Come over and be on our podcast.
There's something about having hot girls on podcasts. It just doesn't read. And everyone tries to do it, but it's like, this isn't, it's not reading on audio.
I've had some very pretty ladies, actresses, comedians on Doug Loves Movies, but as a whole, attractive women on the whole do not like playing trivia games. They don't give a shit about trivia.
This makes me seem not, what's the opposite of smart?
It's funny, and... But, you know, I appreciate, like, Tig's disdain for movie trivia and movies, because she's just not into it.
Yeah.
But she's still a funny person, so she still comes on my show and says funny things about how she's not into it.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, so that's fine.
I saw you once. She's coming back to be on the podcast. There's my game. You just saw it.
She's really put together nicely, but the face was a little too Dolph Lundgren for my taste.
Yeah, it was hard.
Yeah, yeah.
She had hard lines.
A lot of serious, like, German jaw or something.
Volvo-esque was her face. mid-80s Volvo-esque.
Honk, honk. So what were you saying?
What was I just saying?
I don't know. Can we rewind and listen to it?
Some, there was something.
We're talking about how girls don't like trivia. Hot girls don't need to know trivia, ever. They're never quizzed before getting into a nightclub.
Oh, I know what it was. I saw you do the show. That show that Moshe and his friend from San Francisco did, but they did one in Portland at Bridgetown.
Oh, Iron Comic?
Yeah, I think so. You have to write a bit really quickly.
Yeah, you have to come up with stuff on the spot. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just saw your disdain for the format. It was really refreshing. You were just like, I'm not going to play. You didn't say it, but pretty much you were like, I'm not going to play the game. I'm going to play my own game. And I'm going to write a joke about a topic that I feel. So like, somebody wrote like, Ghost
I came
Dad.
In second place with that strategy.
Yeah, I did. To the redhead. What's her name? San Francisco.
Kyle Kinane?
No.
That's who won that night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's a redhead girl?
Who knows what you're remembering?
Oh, yeah.
You're probably thinking of some other comic altogether.
One of the
titles
was Ghost Dad, and you were like, oh, I just thought you said ads for ghosts, ghost ad, and I just, something like that. You just did like 2 segments based on that.
Something about ghost ads?
Yeah, and you wrote back, like this next segment, you're like, I just did more about Ghost Dad. You just kept going, and it was so funny. I don't mind those, the disdain for like the format. As
if
long as
you're getting
going.
Laughs, yeah. That's the important thing. But if you just shit on everything and no one's laughing at what you're saying, then... Yeah. Then you're...
When you get... I listen to your Pete Holmes, TJ, and Jeff Garlin.
The first one or the rematch?
I think the first one.
Because they just did it again recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Rematch. I like that.
They had a rematch, and I named TJ the winner, but only because he pulled it out at the last minute.
By how?
He's always the worst when I'm trying to wrap up the show, you know?
He just keeps going.
I'm just trying to finish. Yeah, he keeps saying things. So it doesn't have a clean ending. But not only was he saying things, he took his water bottle and started pouring it on his dick, like on his crotch, and talking, and I'm just trying to name two shitheads and get out. And, hey, there's Dolph again. And so he won just because he was the most obnoxious at the last moment, but all of them, they're all amazing together.
Exasperated, like, all right, so I have a question. All right.
Yeah, people think it's hilarious how exasperated I get with them, so that's why I keep doing it. But like, I'm only going to do it like once a year. I can't take it on a regular basis. The one we taped last night, I got three of the most docile guests, and it was delightful for me.
Oh,
the listeners actually, might not like it as much.
You got to get stuff out there. Oh, what a nice
cruise. Oh, we heard Doug too much in that episode.
That was Douglas Movies.
Yeah, so that's so I've so the, so going back to the girls and nerd in school question.
Oh, yeah.
I was like super into movies and comedy when I was in high school, and you know.
Oh really?
I knew some girls, but they were always and probably always will be. I just hung out with the girls that are just like, they just get it more. They're more into, you know, media and stuff as opposed to like your average hot model who hasn't.
Hasn't
seen anything, you know, and what she does see is like Hunger Games, you know, just the most obvious hits.
I've gone out with one girl in the last 10 years that I didn't meet off stand-up comedy or at a comedy club.
Well, that's the other thing. We have we really can't sit here and complain because we have such an advantage over other guys that don't get up on stage every night.
Yeah, a girl will come up to you and say hi.
Especially if you're, you know, if you have merch or something after the show.
Or it's an excuse. They don't have to feel weird to say hi. They go right up there.
Yeah. I mean, they have to wait in a line. So that's another thing where you see hot girls just cruising right out the door because they're just like a line to meet that guy.
Yeah, they'll come find me.
Yeah.
When I was selling merch for Pauly, I remember being in Tempe at the improv there and some super hot girl with like, you know, those sometimes they cut their t-shirts. So it's like lower cut and then cut like a line down the middle.
Yeah.
April Macy was like the king of that when she was like at her prime. Like she would wear, it's like hot white trash, you know? And this girl was looking at me and she was like, I thought you were really funny in this merch line. I was like, oh, and I got that tingly feeling. But it was like the first time I had dealt with that. I was like, thanks a lot. And I just watched her leave.
Yeah.
And I kept like turning, like waiting for her to turn around.
I'll say when that does happen, because, you know, there's all sorts of nice people come up to me after the shows. I don't want to make it sound like I'm trolling for chicks, but I do, you know, if someone I would like to hang out with comes up to me in the line, I say something like, I mean, I get lots of offers, but I say, if I'm into it, I say something like, you know, hey, if you mind hanging out while I meet the rest of these people,
that's a good move.
And then, you know, we'll go get a drink or something or smoke some weed, obviously. Some weed. And that's good, but, you know, half the time they bail because it takes forever to get through a merch line sometimes.
It takes a while.
And I don't even sell any merch. It's just meeting and greeting and taking pictures.
Oh, really? You
yeah.
don't bother?
Look at this. This is an interesting...
Hi. Nice dog.
Yeah, it's a cute dog, and then she's...
She's way hotter than Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah. But, like, from a distance, you wouldn't think so.
No,
you know what I mean?
All black, like, parka.
All black, and she's more fuller figured, but that crazy, like, short skirt in the front and then the long thing in the back is fun.
I don't like that look.
You don't?
No.
You don't like seeing the legs? At least you get to see them in the front.
Somebody explained to me it covers up the cottage cheese because that's in the back, but you can still have the nice parts of the front.
Sure.
It just fucks with my eye, not knowing if it's a mini skirt or a long skirt.
I've never ceased to be amazed by when a girl with a perfect body wraps a sweater around her waist, like even like in the gym and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just like,
what are you doing?
They think it's not perfect. Like, it's sad how women, like, they don't know how perfect they are a lot of the time.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't want to tell
you. If they're
you,
not professional models, they don't know.
They just
assume every guy's a creep that comes up to her.
See their flaws.
That, like, yeah, that they're going to hit on me anyway, but they also think I'm flawed.
Yeah.
So I have to make myself better for these guys that don't deserve me.
That's how I feel about my stand-up. Where I'm like, I know I'm pretty good, but also I'm terrible at the same time. I know.
I just think that stand-up is... It's a hard medium to... Or I don't know if medium's the right word for it. It's a hard...
Art form?
Art form to capture. Like, as soon as you make a special of something...
Yeah.
It's pretty special for a while, but who watches like a 10 or 20 year old comedy special digs it?
Yeah.
There's going to be something off about
it. Dated.
The references are going to be dated, the way you're dressed,
the clothes.
Just the way things are shot and edited today compared to then.
Yeah.
Like every day things are getting faster and more complex.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I'm really glad they edited my special Passive Aggressive, available at chill.com right now. For only $5. They edited it fast and moved it out. We did it at the end of December, and it was available like first week of February.
Yeah, and it's great for the first 5 or 6 months, and then it becomes a curio after that for like your bigger fans.
Curio, that's a great goddamn word. What does that mean? Like a curiosity?
Yeah, it's just an item that makes you go, oh, that I'm interested in that. But
curio.
It's also... A shortened version of curious, so that
I love it.
So you're not really that curious.
You're just a little bit.
It's
like...
It's a curio.
And my finger's on the mouse already.
And
all
I could be—I could be totally wrong about what curio means, or if I even used it right. But
I thought
something about having a microphone in your hand. You take your shots here and there with a word that.
I thought it was of or related to the comedy of Paul Mercurio. I'm pretty sure that's what it means, but I'm not
mercurial
sure.
Is a word.
Mercurial?
Yeah, yeah. A person that's... I think that just means flighty or, you know...
Oh, because
hard
Mercury
to pin
the
down.
Was like that.
Yeah.
He had the wings on his shoes.
Yeah.
I only remember that because
how
he said
could
flighty.
You cannot nail down a dude with wings on his shoes. He is very hard to make an appointment with.
How can
with.
You all commit? I gotta be on my... I gotta
Listen,
be on a loose, baby.
I might start to fly right now. And it's right there in my feet, so it's... The whole all of me is going to go if it starts.
He could date that super cute blonde chick from Heroes, from the second year of Heroes. Remember that ran real fast?
Oh.
The cripple one, but she could run real fast. She got the power.
Who played that part? Do you remember?
Some cute girl. She hasn't been in shit since.
Oh, okay.
She was so cute.
I wonder what happens to those because I'm sort of a connoisseur of, like, when I'm watching a TV show or a movie and in a smaller role, I think somebody's crazy, crazy good looking. I kind of like... You know, remember them again and think. I'm always like, I take credit for their success. I'm like, oh, yeah, I thought she was cute the first time I saw her.
So I'm glad she's in this. I did it.
Like, everybody debates whether or not Kristen Stewart is cute. You know, the Twilight girl.
Oh, yeah.
Some people don't think she's attractive, but I think that's mostly just because of all the whining in those movies and how she just sort of comes off as kind of petulant.
She's a six. She's an L.A. six.
But don't you think it's more of her attitude than her looks that give her the six?
Well, I'm thinking about her in, like, what was that, Funland or Adventureland?
Adventureland?
Yeah. And she was playing the cuter girl in that, and she was cool in that. Maybe seven. I mean, maybe seven on personality in that
movie. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not here to say I'm giving her a 10, but I'm saying when I saw her when she was a teenager, when it was inappropriate for me to even be thinking about it.
Yeah.
When I saw her in the
Man,
first time
Dolph
I saw her,
really wants our attention.
The first time I saw her, yeah, Dolph, settle down. The first time I saw her was in probably in the Panic Room with Jodie Foster. She was the daughter with the shitty haircut.
That's always weird when they go from like full little kid.
Yeah,
adult.
But I wasn't like, oh, she's going to grow up to be hot because she had that dumb haircut and I she's a kid. So mm-hmm. I didn't really think about it. But then she showed up a few years later in Jon Favreau's Zathura,
yeah.
And was like the older teenage sister that was aggravated with her little brother through the whole movie. And I was just like, that girl's got it. Like
that
I
girl
thought
from Flipper was like that.
Flipper?
Yeah, she was a cute girl Flipper, and then she was in Sin City. Who's that super hot? She was a stripper in Sin City.
Jessica Alba?
Yeah. She was
I'm mad at Jessica Alba.
16 year old. Why?
Because she never... Whenever she takes her clothes off, it's like Maxim naked.
Oh.
Like, it's never Playboy naked.
Yeah.
And it's annoying.
That's amazing.
I don't
thing.
Need penthouse naked. I don't need the legs spread wide open.
Because it's not
fingers inside herself. But I do want to see it.
Yeah.
You know, she's had a couple of kids now. And she's still holding out.
But... Do it.
She then people go, she was naked in Machete, or she was naked in...
Was she?
No, she's like always got something on the important parts. And even in Sin City, like she's playing a stripper.
Yeah, how can
and
you
she, and her boobs never come out, but boy, does she look great in that movie.
So how does she... Yeah, she really does. How does she not cover... Is it like that, the neighbor from Tool Time, whatever. What show was that?
No, I mean, you know, she just always has the right angles. Like, I think she has a shower scene in Machete or something. And somebody told me, oh, she's naked in Machete. But she's just standing at that angle where, like, you could see her leg.
Fucking Sarah Silverman got naked.
You could see part of a shank. You could see,
shank bone.
You know, maybe you get a little side boob. But you don't, you know, no nipples, no vagina.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
But I think she's a pretty girl, but, like, she, woman.
She's so hot.
But she... Also, it was just she's never in anything good. Sin City's probably the best movie she's ever been in.
Has she really not been in anything good?
I don't think so.
That Dane Cook movie.
What? Good luck, fuck.
Good luck, Chuck. Yeah, I'm just joking though. I don't even think Dane would say that was a good movie.
I don't know what he would say. He was in a couple of them that were pretty touch and go. But
the Kevin Costner movie was good.
You like that?
Well, no,
Mr. Brooks.
I'm only going off previews for all of these.
I like Dan in Real Life.
Which one's Dan in Real Life?
With Steve Carell.
Oh, yeah. That one looked okay. It was Dan.
It's not bad. And Emily Blunt's super, super sexy in it.
Okay.
And that's one of the first times I noticed her, I think. And then... what else was... Oh, and I like when they're on cable, I like working and Employee of the Month. Not necessarily because of Dane, but just because of the...
comedy.
Yeah, I like all the other actors. And Dane is a good actor.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't have a problem with his acting.
He's taken a weird... Like, it's weird that stand-up comedy became his focus, because he should have been just a leading man.
Oh, really? You think
in
so?
In funny movies, I think. And not like, funny movies that are about a guy that fucks 50 chicks in the first 10 minutes.
Was that what Good Luck Chuck
Good
was?
Luck Chuck is about a guy who...
That's hilarious.
Like, I forget the premise, but it's something like he gets laid all the time, and he can't stop, and then he falls in love with Jessica Alba... And I guess the premise is that she'll only be with him if he can stop fucking.
This is why I don't like movies. The premises they set up are completely unrealistic, and a guy like that wouldn't stop fucking. He never would.
No.
But in the movies, like, well, you meet the right girl, of course you're going to... That's not right. And it fills women and men with this false sense of what to expect. That's not real.
There's a guy over there trying to read a book.
That's why I love Ghostbusters 2.
While you're yelling.
Because it opens with the fucking run off into the sunset being completely negated the first 5 minutes of that. Where like, oh, they didn't work out. Bill Murray
it
and the chick
happen.
From whatever.
That's what
the
sequels
mist.
Should be. Every sequel, the first few minutes should just be like, yeah, that relationship is
it
over.
It didn't work. We had like a good month and then it was over.
We had a happy ending for the first movie.
You call me the ball and chain. Now let's redo it.
But you know, like Transformers 3, they couldn't deal with Megan Fox anymore, so they got like some other girl,
some other hot girl,
proving that it doesn't matter who the girl is, but also sort of proving that
it does.
Megan Fox is more of a commodity than they thought
because it didn't do as well.
Well, I just think Megan Fox is she's still a big star,
yeah.
And the girl in the third Transformers movie I don't think she's clicked. I mean, I couldn't tell you what her name is.
Yeah, I don't know. She was so unbelievably hot, Megan Fox, that there was a fake Megan Fox Facebook account going around, but early in Facebook, where no one really knew. And I was almost positive that it was a fake account. It had, like, one picture and no activity. But I kept checking it to make sure, to say, maybe she did really request me, and I don't want to take a chance and not be able to hook up with Megan Fox if there's a possibility.
I love the scene. There's a scene in This Is 40 where Judd Apatow's Leslie Mann is just grabbing at her tits.
Megan Fox's tits?
Yeah, yeah. In a bra, but still squeezing them pretty good on camera and talking about it. And I was just like, Judd Apatow's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
Gets his wife feeling up Megan Fox, and that's what they do all day. That was their day.
He's like, keep rolling. I'm almost there. Keep rolling. Ah, okay, cut. That's pretty great.
Yeah, he's a goddamn genius.
That's a good scam, Apatow.
Yeah.
So did you get laid in high school at all? Did you, like, have girlfriends?
I had the, my first sort of steady girlfriend was probably, I was about maybe, I want to say, 16, 17. Like, it took a long time to even get a girlfriend.
To get one, yeah.
I don't even know if I kissed that many girls before that. And
were you
then,
a virgin before that?
Yeah, and then that girlfriend, we were together long enough for my senior prom to come around. She was like a freshman or a sophomore.
What? Really?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Wow. Nice. Even then.
When you're 17, okay, you can have sex with a 15-year-old. Yeah. You're underage also.
I just mean because it's younger.
Like, she was 16, but yeah, she was younger, yeah.
Okay.
And
was she a virgin too?
Boy, did I get in trouble once for stuff she wrote in her diary.
What?
Her parents read her diary.
I talked about, like, the graphics stuff?
I talked about stuff we did together in her bedroom in the afternoon. She was like a latchkey kid. Like, her parents weren't home, so we'd just go to her place and fool around. And then she'd write it down in detail.
And they saw it?
And then they saw it. And they're like, you can't come over anymore. And then also, whenever I did come over, just to pick her up or whatever, just the dirtiest looks.
So they knew you were
fucking. Because it was nasty what she wrote. You know, like, you don't want to read that about your teenage daughter.
No. Well, you have to realize, like, that's
an adult. But I was a teenager, too. I was a kid, too, so.
What do they expect? Her not to bone anybody? So you lost your virginity to each other?
That's the thing about her, is she was experienced enough that I wonder. I don't know if I was her first. I probably
was
wasn't.
Internet porn, too, so it's not like she could have picked this stuff up. Just random surfing.
Yeah, well, when I say experience, I don't even know, like, how. I just mean that it was, when we had sex, it wasn't terribly awkward, you know? And it was prom night. It was classic. Prom night, rented a hotel room.
Yeah.
Got her back, you know, took her back to the room after, you know, after we, you know, drank a bunch of beers in the parking lot of the prom. And then.
How excited were you about what was about to happen?
Oh, so excited. Yeah. But, like, $35 for the hotel room was, like, felt like a lot. And I got at the time I just thought that, that no one should know that that's what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I guess that was a smart play because at least I got to fool around with her some more in her parents' house after that first time.
Because nobody
knew. But yeah, it was.
You did it in the
hotel
room?
It was a pretty great prom for me.
Yeah, how long did you last the first time? What was it like?
I don't even remember how long it lasted, but I'm sure it was pretty quick.
Short.
You know, I didn't premature or anything, but
yeah, premature. Mine was short.
Trying to say it the cute way.
Bled and said, "We got to stop and get a towel."
Oh,
for the couch, and then that was like.
So that was her first.
Yeah. Yeah, we lost it to each other.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, but that's when I was 23, too. So wait, so then you lose your virginity. Did you love that girl? Were you like, was that like your...
I was pretty into her, and like the thing that ended my relationship with her is it became very clear that she was also seeing like an older guy.
Oh,
like
really?
A guy that was out of high school who was a... I think he was into karate.
Oh, and,
yeah, so... I mean, I think I only was face to face with him a couple of times.
Face to face with what? With him?
Yeah.
You knew who she was boning?
Well, that's as I was on the way out and he was in there, I kind of figured it out, you know. Oh, now there's a guy.
What is he?
Riding around with an amplifier. What we're doing here, we should be clear, is not being amplified into the street like that guy that just rode up on a bicycle with
a
microphone.
He's got a whole crew. He's got two people trailing him.
He probably says, you know, it's probably like the Mr. Microphone commercials of old. He probably says,
do you know him?
We'll be back to pick you up later.
on a bike tour. He takes them all the way to the
beach. Oh, he's giving them a tour and talking about everything. Like right now, he's showing them the world famous Comedy Store.
Oh, that's why he has the amplifier.
Yeah. And they're going to ride all the way out to the beach?
They're mentioning Chris D'Elia's name. This is hilarious. I didn't know they did this.
Oh, that's why the guy's reading a book, is it's his job to sit out here and give away free tickets to the bike tours.
Should we go ask him what he
does? I think they're going
to
come this way.
Okay.
Will you come over here for a sec?
Yeah, let's talk about your bike tour.
We got to see if these girls, are they all girls that are with him, or is it one dude with long hair?
One dude. No, all girls. I don't know if that's a dude or a guy in the middle.
No.
I don't know either.
Oh my God, put your glasses on.
It's such lustrous hair either way.
I'm pretty sure it's a girl. It's a cute man if it's a man.
It's a man. It's a man.
Is it?
The one in black?
That's a dude?
I'm 60% sure.
He's got a nice smile.
He does have a beautiful smile.
And longer, more luxurious hair than the two girls that he's hanging out with.
Flowing. Yeah, way more luxurious. Lustrous.
Yeah, I got to get my eyes checked.
Hey, look, it's the LMFAO truck.
I just swear to God, I just saw a guy I was going to go, oh, that's the guy from LMFAO, walked by. I thought I was going to make a joke that it was him, but it was probably really him.
Hey.
Hey, man, what's the name of your thing that you're doing? Say it into your mic and then you'll
hear. I know you.
Yeah, I'm a stand-up comedian
pretty famous, I think.
Kind of famous.
Dude, I'm a nerd on the, hence my name is Nerdo.
Your name is Nerdo?
Your actual Christian name?
You can actually Google Nerdo, and I'm the only Nerdo. Nerdo.biz, B-I-Z. I had to buy it. It's not about me, it's about you guys.
And you're with these nice folks on bicycles, and you're going all the way out to the beach?
I do sometimes, but no, this is my four-hour tour to the Hollywood Hills to Rodeo Drive through Celebrity Homes.
Do you guys like it? It's fun? They love it.
Wow.
And so that's how people can get you and hire you to do this and go to Nerdo?
I go to biketourshollywood.com.
How much does it cost?
It's $40, $60, and $100.
I would always go for the 40. Why would anyone go for the 60?
I thought it was more like pay at the end, whichever.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Beverly Hills is 40, Beverly Hills is 60, and the beach is 100. That's a dope time.
How long does it take to ride a bike out to the beach? 8 hours? Okay. 6 hours?
Wow.
That's a pretty cool day.
It's amazing. 40 miles.
Do you guys stop at restaurants and stuff?
Yes. We have a cafe. We go down through the beach. We drink right there on the beach. But this one, I have a special down in the underground on Rodeo Drive. There's an amazing little ice cream shop. And we go eat ice cream. It's her birthday. So.
Happy birthday. What's
your
name?
We shouldn't.
Oh. Allie, nice to meet you.
What is that? Is that
my ex's? Oh yeah.
Are you wearing tie-dye for a reason?
No, I just like this shirt.
It's pretty cool.
So you're not into this sort of stuff?
Wait, are you guys from LA?
That's a really nice.
Oh yeah. Should we get the mic?
That's a nice item. You guys want to get high with us?
Yeah, dude,
that's so this is so great.
Are you wearing a mini skirt to bike? Oh, they're shorts. Okay.
My sexiest tour ever.
Yeah, we thought it was three girls at first because he has luxurious hair.
That's the Brad Pitt 94 look.
Yeah, yeah, I have my glasses on.
I do have to say that Brad Pitt is, if you're going to go gay.
He's been living by Bronson Canyon for almost 20 years.
Really?
Yeah, he's got five mansions right there, which is a compound, you know, like Ellen DeGeneres. They're all private, crazy, you know, but not crazy, genius in space.
I knew when she was straight, she was a real freak. I called her Ellen DeGenerate.
You're so funny.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're all recognizing me from Super High. Now they see me holding.
They can't quite remember. I have a vague memory.
Yeah, nice to meet you
guys.
Sorry to interrupt your tour. Do you want to hit this?
You guys can all have some pot.
The whole point is to meet a celebrity.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God! You have to settle for us.
No, this is cool. Totally unplanned. Like we just bumped into you guys like this. So random. Were you wearing those glasses
in Super Jaime?
Yeah.
No, but I had sunglasses on a lot, I'm sure. Maybe. No, I didn't have these yet. I've had these for a few years, though.
I like
good
it.
Story.
Good story about sunglasses.
That's
you
so
told
great.
Your dad
Did
you smoked
that?
Weed because
I hear
of
that
Doug
all
Benson?
The time.
I was like, dad, look at this shit. It's good, man. It's all good. No worries. And then I leave to LA like 2 months ago. I was like,
Did he buy it? Did he agree with it? Or did he just go, whatever?
He was like, you know what? He was like, he actually sat through half of it and he was like, you know what, man? Just smoke as much as you want, dude. It's all good.
What? He sat through the half where I wasn't smoking? That was probably.
Your dad said, dude?
Yeah, my dad's
He was already smoking pot. He already knew, first of all, he was pinching your stuff.
Exactly.
And second of all, yeah, he was totally cool.
Are you guys into music, the music scene in L.A.?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm just really trying to go out to, like, a nightclub or something. Do you guys suggest anywhere in particular?
The Echoplex is really cool. Or the Troubadour down there. Okay. Or some of these, you're going to pass on Sunset Strip, like Whiskey A Go-Go or...
I totally interrupted you. It was ridiculously horrible. But I love this story about the Troubadour. That's the first place Elton John played when he ever first played in
ever?
America. Yes, and he sold it out. Yes, in America, but he sold it out to 5 nights in a row. And guess who opened for him?
Paul McCartney.
Very close. More Americanish.
I was gonna guess you, Nerdo.
I wish. I did play across the street though at the Foundation Room 2 Septembers ago. I played the piano, singing. You know,
oh, that's 30. Cool.
But no, Neil Diamond opened up for Elton John at the Troubadour.
Wow.
72.
That's a pretty fun show.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah, and he's if like, you like songs amazing. From the 70s.
No, Neil Diamond's like, dude, this guy's incredible.
Yeah, that'd be really fun to see.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Best birthday week.
Do you guys want some free tickets to the Comedy Store?
Yeah.
Do you have any tickets for them?
We're in the middle of recording Ari's podcast.
Oh, okay, nice.
It's called Skeptic Tank.
Yeah.
And his name is Ari Shaffir.
And you might know him from the guy who just released a special at chill.com for only $5.
You're so passive aggressive. And but yes, yeah, so you can download it and listen to it. It'll be out tomorrow. This is his Valentine's Day episode. So you can hear yourself meeting us tomorrow. On iTunes. You're going to remember.
Skeptic Tank. If you do a search for Doug Benson Comedy Store on iTunes, maybe it'll come up.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. At what time? Midnight. Nice. Well, enjoy your miniskirt rides.
Yeah. Have fun. I don't perform at the Comedy Store very often, but Ari's a regular here.
I'm here a lot. Yeah. Doug's here rarely.
And what was your first time on stage?
That's a whole nother thing. It was.
Oh.
Do you think the listeners can hear him asking you that?
No.
Or should we repeat the question?
When was what a couple years ago or yesterday, when was the first time on stage and was it scary or exciting for you?
It was very scary for me. It was 14 years ago.
This was the first place I ever performed.
Was it?
On that stage right there.
Really?
In the original room, yeah. I did a potluck for
Mitzi's
3 minutes.
Monday night?
Mm-hmm.
Was she here all the time then?
She was not here, but Louis Anderson was here and said something nice.
Oh, that's cool.
He was probably trolling, but
this is the
it
first
was still,
time. Oh, yeah,
I,
you
I,
were
I
young
still
then?
Liked it.
You were young then?
Yeah, I was.
Young and meaty.
Take a picture of you guys, bro.
Oh,
let's
yeah,
do
sure.
it. Get over here. Yeah, come on over.
Should I pause this for a second?
I want to ask this other lady if she likes podcasting walking by.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Hey, dude.
Do you like pot? Oh. We're pausing for a picture.
Nailed.
Thanks, bro.
Nailed.
Hey, yeah, man. Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, nice to meet you, man.
You have lustrous hair.
Where do you guys live, did you say?
Miami.
Miami?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
We're pretty close to Miami, yeah.
I'm going to be in Miami the night before I go on the 311 cruise.
Oh, okay.
Performing?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to
really?
Be so much fun.
You guys should exchange.
I'm getting a picture of everybody. People love listening to photographs being taken.
Oh, yeah.
That's what people were just doing.
You guys should hang out with Doug while he's there that night.
Yeah, I'll be there for one night.
In Miami?
Yeah. Yeah, get him some weed there.
Get in touch with me, yeah. Or write down your number on something.
Do you like that kind of stuff?
Here, I have a piece of paper.
Hey, another tour! What's
hey,
up?
Right.
Here's the real tour! Waving a joint. Wave around a joint the cocktail. You picked the wrong one!
You could have been smoking reefer instead of being a stupid bottom-down van.
Naturalistic? Is that a song?
You take such heavy rips.
I do?
Like such thick smoke that comes out of your mouth. How do you do that?
I'm just, you know.
It's like you can't see anything. It's like white. Just keeps putting it back there.
My new movie that's coming out soon, Greatest Movie Ever Rolled, has in the opening titles, it's slow motion, this really cool photography of me just, you know, blowing out huge hits of smoke.
Really?
Yeah, it's neat.
That's pretty cool.
I can't wait for people to see it. Greatest movie ever rolled. You know, I gotta get the pot pun in there.
Yeah.
I'm glad we ran into you guys.
Okay. That's getting weird. I'm gonna pause this. Play all night. Let's get it popping. I'm in Miami Beach. Drink all day. Play all night. Let's get it popping. I'm in Miami Beach. Everybody on smash. Smash. Hands in the air. Okay.
So what happened? Do you throw something in there, like a little instrumental music, or
yeah, I'll probably put a pause in there. Yeah, some music in there, not instrumental. Put like a song that's apt.
Put like "Welcome to Miami."
Welcome to Miami
or something.
Okay, that's what I'll put in there. Who sings that song?
Just a little bit of it. Welcome to Miami. I don't know.
That's the kind something of music by that Pitbull. Plays at the places I know, I have to
Pitbull
leave that
or
place.
Will Smith. Do Will Smith's Miami song, and And then come back to us, just like we were like, that's how funny. Like, we can't ever get
what
to the, even though we get recognized.
Yeah,
it's still exciting when cute girls recognize
yeah.
you, and you still get like, you still start talking to them like like a goddamn idiot. But as a comedian, at least you get to be like, that can be your card, is I can act stupid and they think it's funny because I'm already established in their minds. But if those girls just met me on the street and didn't know me from that movie,
they were
already like further away from us than the two guys before they realized who we were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were hanging back. Like, so they wouldn't even have talked to us if they didn't know who we were. So it's unfair.
Over when they were over on the other wall. We were like, hey, let's talk to who they are. And then they came over and they're like, oh, you're both incredibly hot.
All dating advice for men tip shows, the only tip should be find some sort of success. Be successful in some way.
She's was like, you're the guy from that movie, Super Jaime.
Yeah.
You offered them pot. She did the math in her head, instantly did the connection.
Well, what really pulls it together for a lot of people is hearing me talk. Like, just looking at me doesn't do it. Then it's just like, that guy looks familiar from somewhere. But when I speak, you know, especially if there's stoners sitting around watching it over and over again, they just know the voice and then put it all together, you know. I see it happen all the time. I was watching Annie Hall the other day.
It goes two senses hitting him at once.
Yeah. I was watching Annie Hall the other day, and Woody Allen gets recognized by a guy outside of a theater. But it's just so perfectly choreographed. The way the guy walks past him a couple of times.
Really?
Kind of scratches his head.
See the background?
And then when he finally approaches him, they tend to be not very confident that you're you still. They still have a... They're still skeptical. They're still skeptic tank about it.
They have to find out.
Because they go... Like she said, are you that guy in Super Jaime? Like she didn't... You know, she asked it like she didn't... She still wasn't sure. Yeah. And that's how the guy in that movie does it. He goes... Where do I know you from? You know, and Woody Allen's like, I'm on TV sometimes. And he's like, yeah, but what's your name? And he's like, my name's Alvy Singer. And he's like, Alvy Singer, I knew it! You know, and then he goes nuts. And that is that's how it goes down a lot of the time.
Wow.
And most of the time when people say to me, where do I know you from? I just say the same thing. I just go, I'm on TV sometimes. And then when they press, I go, well, I'm in a movie called Super Jaime. And most of the time that's why they recognize
they
me.
Recognize
but sometimes
you.
It's Best Week Ever or Last Comic Standing or whatever. But it's such an interesting process, and I'm at exactly the place where I can do something. I can go anywhere I want.
Yeah.
And be bugged about the amount that I want to be bugged.
And no
you know,
and no
like
more.
And no more. Like some of my friends when they go to the airport or out to dinner or a movie, anything.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not in LA or New York, and even there sometimes. People are going to hassle the shit out of you because they're so excited to see somebody that...
I want to be less famous when I go to these UFCs because...
You're getting recognized too much at them?
But I'm almost always on stuff, and I just did a show with Rogan the night before usually.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm there.
Right.
And, too many people know that I like doing, like, pot cookies or something. I get really fucking out there. Hi.
And
I just want to watch people. I don't want to get, like, have anyone say hi.
I agree with that. I could see where sometimes it's more fun to just, but that's the only place where that's a problem at this point. And that's because you are so associated with Joe. Like that's
only the night.
That's I think both of us get more recognized at UFC because of the Joe connection. Like that's why they know us.
Yeah, he does better those weekends too.
What?
He does better those weekends too.
What do you mean?
Like more people come out to see his shows those weekends.
Oh
because
yeah,
they're all there for the UFC.
Well, it's such a great especially if you have to drive in from some suburb or something into the city.
Yeah,
like just make a weekend out of it. Yeah. That last time I was in Denver and he was there at the same time.
Yeah,
I kept running into in the hotel elevator people that were seeing me and him do stand up that night. People that were going to the fights the next day.
Really?
They had a friend who was a fighter, and they were like, "Root for so and so." We were like, "Okay,
okay." Well, and fine.
You know, and it was like two sexy couples just having a weekend in Denver.
Yeah.
And, it's a great package. That's such a fun weekend to see Joe do stand-up and then see people beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah. Dude, I'm just thinking what happened with those girls. That was tremendous.
What did I say we were going to talk about when we got back?
Them, right?
But something that was interesting about meeting them and...
That once they saw you... Tell me if you remember, because I don't. If once they saw you, then it sort of turned how we never would have been able to talk to them in real life if not for that.
I think we already talked about that. It was something else that I thought was an interesting avenue to go down, but I can't remember.
Miami thing?
No. But I don't
even. I know the chance of going out and shooting a documentary and just running into people that this sort of thing happens.
I don't think that's it, but I'll talk about that.
This is definitely going to be a PW Prost-W podcast, but let's go back to talking about girlfriends or something. I'm trying to keep a focus. It's
well, that's
so
what it
hard.
Was sort of on, was like the whole girl...
Oh, yeah, there it goes, thematically.
I think it was just I wanted to say how... You're right, how they just probably would not have spoken to us at all or just been a polite little hi if they didn't know who we were. So that's what all the guys out there listening to this right now are up against.
Yeah.
Is that you gotta have something to get in with
and
them.
And super hot dudes like D'Elia and stuff, they just go like, "What do you mean? Just go talk to them." And you're like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah, and that's the thing is he's got his a lot of fame to go with it, but he's always probably been a good looking dude.
No, he's been a confident good right. He's never got like I can't. You just that's the hardest move is going up and talking.
Yeah,
once it gets going, it's okay.
It's that's why there aren't a lot of handsome stand up comedians is because you don't need it. You don't need that. You don't need people listen to you already.
Yeah.
People already pay attention to you. You don't need to get a microphone and.
That's the best way I've ever heard that put.
Get some drinks into people.
Yeah.
But boy, that is great that we've had that. That our lives have just been night after night. We get to go up in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
Get more and more comfortable. Get more and more comfortable with people, but also then more and more
have them break the
ice. even at the opening stages of my stand up, people admire it.
Oh yeah. No, you're performing on stage. I made out with a girl in D.C. once that I told Mitzi that I got laid. I lied and said I got laid because I wanted to. Because I really should have, but I was only able to take the place of kissing.
And who does that lie hurt, really?
Me? No one?
No one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
How could it?
Yeah, no, not at all.
I'm not saying that I've ever done that, but maybe I have.
Yeah.
Like a buddy is just like, "Oh, did you do it?" Yeah. It's easier to say that than...
Plus, in my prudish world, it had been enough, like, it's the equivalent of you getting laid, to the person I'm talking to.
Oh,
like, the amount it would hold in my...
That's what I was going to say, though, is like, what happened with those girls, I don't need to ever see them again to feel like I could have maybe had sex with them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty satisfied... Like some for some reason that is the most
just knowing
that is often the most fun part of it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really truly pursue and hook up with somebody unless I that's somebody that I feel like I want to hang out with.
Oh right.
Because
they get too annoying. Oh, that's the fear.
Well, you just got to make sure that the person like that's to me that's more compatibility is more important than how hot she is. But. There's a weird scale that things are sliding up and down. Like, I've gone out with too many girls that were kind of horrible people just because they were crazy hot.
Yeah.
There's been at least three of them in my life. My favorite one was I went out with this girl who was super duper hot, but she wanted to call each other boyfriend and girlfriend, like, instantly.
Yeah.
Like, right away. But we lived in different cities, and I was like, okay,
How long ago was this? In the Doug
few years.
Arc?
Few years.
Okay.
I was like, I'm going to try to be your boyfriend. Okay. And I'm going to tell all other girls, you know, I have a girlfriend. And,
buzz
you know, because she was living close enough. She was living in San Francisco, so that was close enough to, you know, for frequent visits. And, but the thing is it only lasted like maybe 6 weeks or 8 weeks, even living in different cities.
Yeah.
Because when we would get together, she would have these insane, like, highs and lows. Sometimes she'd be great to be around, and sometimes she'd just be horrible. And then a lot of times she'd get really, really drunk. That kind of drunk where when you're carrying her home, you think people think you drugged her.
Yeah.
Because you're carrying a hot girl who is fucked up.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's happened to me two or three times in my life, and it's really unsettling.
Wow. I was taking a picture of some guy. A
couple
Boston.
Big guys come along and want to be heroes.
Yeah. And they're like, no.
These okay. days, some asshole with a gun. And then he's got her.
He's got a gun. What can I do?
I had to give her up. He thought I was going to molest her.
And he had the gun.
But anyway, this girl, there was just a lot of. I don't think I have any change. Do you have any?
Uh-uh.
I haven't gotten any, but...
Sorry.
Sorry, dude. Good luck.
No problem. Is that a homeless couple?
Does he know we're trying to make a show? Does he know we're trying to earn a living in the world of free podcasting? Download Passive Aggressive for... How much is it?
It's
on Chill?
$4.99.
$4.99.
You got five streams.
You're doing. That's how you're asking people for change. That's you're
that's
asking people for change.
I'm begging.
Instead of walking up to some people at the Comedy Store on Sunset trying to do a podcast, asking for money, you are asking them to download your speech that you gave.
Exactly.
The hubris.
Please.
The hubris of
please.
Pay money for my speech that I made. Oh, I bet you there's
no,
a garbage can.
Up.
Oh, it's all locked up.
I know
there's
one at the end of the block. There's definitely a garbage can. It's outside the pink
there
dot.
You go. Wow, and he's...
Outside the pink dot, there's definitely a garbage can.
Yeah, there you go. He was very concerned about throwing out his cup.
Yeah.
Lemonade cup. So finally, I just break up with this girl.
Can I just say that our reaction to the two groups that came by just now were so vastly different?
It's a study of the human condition, how rude we were to the homeless guy and how excited we were for hot girls from Miami taking a bike tour. We did everything with those girls, but give them money. That's why
giving it to them.
Sorry, dude, I don't have any change because I just gave it to some girls that rode by on some bikes.
They want a bike tour. They paid the $60 plan. I got none left for you. It was so different.
But that's what I'm saying about... You don't always do these out here. You usually do them indoors.
Yeah.
You might want to rethink this. You might want to rethink this.
On beautiful days like this. Why not?
It's a gorgeous day. This is super fun.
Oh, wow.
We haven't even really commented that much about what's going on around us. But it's super...
Oh, yeah. It's a sunset strip.
It was slower earlier. Now it's getting more traffic-y. But I broke up with the girl. I just said, you know what? I'm done with you. You know, like I put her, like we were somewhere out on the road and I put her in a cab and said, you know, get out of my life. You're such a weirdo. And then a few months later, part of me regretted it a little bit because she was beautiful and had her moments. And then, you know, I don't know how long later, I get an email from her and I'm already like, oh, what's this going to be about?
Your heart's beating.
And just a very long email apologizing and explaining to me that the whole time we were going out, she was a complete pill addict.
Oh.
And was taking pills constantly.
That would explain.
So I'm suddenly like, oh, that's why she would sleep all day, and that's why she would get so fucked up when she was drunk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe.
And that's why she would sleep with me at all.
You think so?
No, she was. She smoked pot and she liked my comedy. The first time I met her, she had like this look on her face, like she was so excited to meet me, and I was excited to meet her because she's beautiful. Yeah. And but that was the last attempt at a girlfriend I've ever had.
And so then, what'd you do after she said I'm sorry? You're like, okay, cool, we'll forget it, or?
Oh, it was just this long, you know.
Like,
it was a very
kind of
long, not really 12 step as much as just like apologizing, but also not really trying to open the door again.
Oh, right.
You know, and I didn't. I kind of like was like, oh, I'd like to see her, and she's been bouncing around doing a bunch of different things. Like, she seems to be doing well, but and I have her number, and so I've, you know, we text every once in a while, but
and that was your last attempt.
But I haven't really, tried to get together with her again, and I also don't. I don't want to be anybody's boyfriend.
Are you just?
I don't want to have a girlfriend or. If I become super best friends with somebody who's a lady and we have sex on occasion, then that could be a coupling that could work. You know, that would be like, hey, let's go ahead and grow old together because we enjoy each other so much. But I don't find that because I'm dating girls that are much younger than me, and they just, you know, it's I tend to like them, but I don't have that much in common with them.
Hmm.
But it's fun.
So you're like, whatever.
I have a good time with them.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Or is it just because you think
just,
you're like,
just try
point,
not
like,
to let anything
I'm cool
get too,
by myself.
Get too
I'm
serious.
I'm comfortable with being a successful person. I can just sit in my apartment and watch TV or go out with friends.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I don't have that much that I want to spend money on. I'm not into material things. I'm not dying to have a big home or a fancy car.
Yeah.
I just like that I can afford to travel wherever I want to go, when I want to go, because I have so many frequent flyer miles. I'm like George Clooney and up in the air.
Really?
I keep waiting for Sam.
I just catch him in immediately.
What's his name? To sit down next to me.
Sam Rockwell?
No. The older dude that was narrated Raising Arizona.
Wait, the guy from Quantum Leap?
No. Scott Bakula?
No, the other guy who just pops in all of a sudden. I don't know.
I'm going to look it up on my phone because it's going to drive me crazy.
Oh, you're the movie
it's
guy.
Like a name that should just pop right into my head, and it's not, and it's bumming me out. It's Sam something, I'm pretty sure. But,
Oh, the guy who narrated Big Lebowski?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he's got the big old crazy mustache.
What's his name?
He plays the captain that sits down Rhodes? Next to George Clooney and says, "You've got a lot of miles."
Yeah.
So I'm saying hi to you, which I don't think any airline actually has that.
Really?
I don't think that's part of the program.
No. They probably take a leap there. Why don't you just cash them in?
Cash them in for what?
I don't know. Free tickets.
To where?
Wherever else you want to go.
Well, because I, professionally, my airfare is, you know, technically covered whenever I go somewhere.
Yeah, but you still get the rest of that money. This is such...
There's no money. It's just
miles. Oh, they don't
give
you like an allowance towards travel, or they just pay for the travel?
Oh, you're saying the clubs and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, however it works out, it's you know, one way or the other, it's a business expense that's either incurred by the club or by me. So it doesn't really, you know, cost me anything, you know, to like save up my miles and use them when it's going to be. To do something expensive.
No, but if they give you like $500 towards travel, you can either spend $500 of that, or you can, if that tickets are too much, you're like, no, I'll just use my freaking flyer miles.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that I want to use my frequent flyer.
The $500.
I want to. This is so boring
to
listen to.
Buy pizza.
I want to use my frequent flyer miles to go places I want to go where I'm not working.
Oh.
If I have a job there, then
it's a business expense.
Then somehow it's getting paid for either by
I get it.
Reimbursement.
Do you
or
do that? You take trips and stuff?
I don't really. That's why I have so many miles built up.
Oh.
But I can go... I have so many miles on one airline that I could go to LAX right now and get on a flight to anywhere I want to go in the world.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. That's a pretty good escape plan.
Some fucking hacker is going to try to get into my account now and steal my miles.
Don't let them do that.
I have... On this one airline,
yeah.
I'm not even going to say that it's Delta because I don't want anyone trying to figure it out.
You could go anywhere in the
world. I have almost a million lifetime miles on one airline.
That's a pretty cool thing to be able to run away from somebody. So I want to go to Belarus.
That's what I'm saying. Let's go. It's just because you never know when you're going to take some Ambien, murder some people, and need to get out of town.
They will find out the trail. Let me leave beforehand.
I used to get blackout drunk from time to time, and now I avoid it at all costs.
Why?
Because that hour or two that you have no idea what you did.
Yeah.
What could you have done?
Is that what it's
right?
like? I don't think I've ever blacked out.
I think
out.
You live your life pretty normally. I have some friends who get blackout drunk pretty frequently, and they don't seem to ever say, but it'll be like one of those things where I'll wake up in a hotel room and I'll be like, how did I even get back to this room? You know, and I don't
really?
Remember going to Burger King and there's wrappers everywhere. Like I'll
and
eat,
you have zero
I'll
memory
eat
of
garbage
it?
While I'm blackout drunk. Yeah, so it scares me. Like I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah,
plus the hangover the next day
drunk.
Is terrible.
I've seen you get red band drunk.
I've seen you get drunk. But when there's whole chunks of the night that you can't remember, the next day my friends say it was fine, but
you're so worried.
Chances are, I mean, who knows what horrible things you do? I think I'm a pretty friendly drunk, but
yeah, you're pretty fine. All you want to do is like go out more than everybody else. That's the only like you're a fine drunk. You're just not a great like stoner when you're drunk.
Sam Elliott.
Oh. Get this and more on Doug Loves Movies.
Doug loves trying to remember things. Have
guys.
A good tour.
That seems like a way later. So did
they
you
look
used
so
to try?
Unhappy, the people in that tour bus.
Starline? Fuck Starline. Did you used to try to get girlfriends more? Yeah, feel free.
Well, that's part of my new self.
Yeah.
Is I realize that relationships are all consuming to me.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that likes that. So that was the two most like the two girlfriends in my life that I like when they decided to break it off, I was devastated and thought I could never love like that again.
Yeah. Those stick with you, right? This is what we talked about in Vegas one night.
But both of those, they broke up with me because I pushed them away. And then
I have
the fucking nerve to be upset that I pushed them away. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I make it all about they broke up with me. But no, I did a bunch of shit that made them break up with me.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't break up with me on a whim. But they sure did both have another guy they wanted to fuck immediately. So that hurts so bad.
Yeah, that hurts a lot.
That they dismount and land on someone else the next day. You know?
Oh, man. You're still thinking like, no.
Because I also know that
out.
I've broken up with girls because there's a girl I had my eye on, and then I ask her out right away after I get out of the other relationship.
So they got to be capable of what you're capable of.
Everybody does the same thing, and yet I thought of those two women as how could they have done that to me?
Did you pedestal them?
Yeah, especially the first one.
Which ones were these? You don't have to, you can say whatever level of it you want. You can describe them.
I don't like saying names because
but just tell me so I know.
People can look them
about.
Up on the internet and be like. But
was one of them the 19-year-old? Can I say that?
That's the other thing. They were much younger than me. But yeah, one of them was only 19. So like the fact that I thought that I had any chance of making that work. The problem was it just didn't last as long as I wanted it to. Like if it would have been, we would have probably drifted apart if we just stayed together another 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
But when she broke it off, I was still crazy into her and wanted to be with her all the time.
She was incredibly hot too.
Because even while we were together, she was one of those girlfriends that like I was constantly jealous of. How you know the way she talked to other guys and how she dressed. And
why were you not used to getting someone like that, or was it just like was she making?
She
you
was
jealous?
19 years old all and right. taller than me, and at that point to me seemed like she was going to be a star. Like I think she's
yeah
her the way she looks and her acting ability and her quirkiness. There's, she should be huge, and instead she's in lots of TV commercials, which is a kind of huge. Because
it's not as
because
big as
it's all
be.
Commercial agents recognizing what I
just
say I'm seeing.
Super hot.
Yeah. But also captivating, like a person you want to look
Dude,
at.
Julia Roberts has this thing where she's not hot. Nobody jerks off to Julia Roberts, you know. But she lights up a room when she smiles, and that's why she gets parts. Plus, she's a good actress. this girl has that same thing. When she's in a room, everyone's just like, ah!
Yeah, and she's also, you know, kind of nutty. She's nutty acting, like in a fun way, a really fun way, in a smart way. She's not an idiot.
When a super cute girl does that, then it becomes like, yeah, everyone's into it.
But yeah, she had her quirks. Like, I, you know, if I were the type of guy to make to write a screenplay about a period of my life, that would be something I could write pretty well and cast pretty well.
Could you do it now? How long after you broke up till you could do that in a good way? Beck said it took him like a year after went on a writer until he could make.
I just don't want to
see change.
I just don't want to write a screenplay. That just doesn't. I don't find that compelling.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. So I'm lazy. Good point. But also,
I mean, like
putting out there like what you know. Oh. Sort of stuff that's semi-biographical. Like, I sort of do it in my stand-up, I guess, and in the documentaries. But something about, I like documentaries because it's just capturing what I'm up to now.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to worry about what happened in the past, like, trying to figure it out. Like, Judd Apatow's This Is 40 movie, like, to me...
That was all autobiographical, right?
No, that's the thing. He made up everything, but used his real family and kind of, you know, changed anecdotes.
Yeah.
You know, changed things, but...
Still based
But it's all from the knowledge of what their relationships are like.
Yeah.
And I'd rather disguise it more if I was going to do that. You know, I'd make a movie about... Like, I still... The movie I want to make, if I'm going to make a movie, is I would like to make a pot superhero. But make it, you know... Go make it like almost like a parody of Christopher Nolan and go even darker than he does.
Oh, really? Like super dark?
But not Sin City dark, because that's not funny.
Okay.
But
to what level are we talking
darker
about?
Than Dark Knight.
Heath Ledger Batman? Batman?
No, because I think that, yeah, like if Heath Ledger were Batman, or like if I was the superhero, if I put on a mask, like kind of Watchmen-esque also, but comedy.
But like you'd be killing people.
But funny.
Though.
Not necessarily killing people, but it would be pot-related.
Yeah.
Yeah, my superpower would be that I can just chill people the fuck out. You know what I mean? Like no one can fight me because they lose all will to be aggressive.
Yeah. I like that. That's pretty indefeatable.
But he also it's also one of those movies where he's the world has gotten so bad that he can barely put a dent in solving the problems and the crime and everything.
Pot man?
The pot guy.
Yeah.
It's Dank Knight, actually. And
Okay.
I've like forgotten about this for years, but for a while I was pretty obsessed with trying to get this made.
Yeah.
Where he just gave up on being a superhero and just stayed home and played video games and stuff. And the ecology of the world got so bad that especially in the city that the movie takes place in, or TV series or comic book, if anyone out there wants to adapt it. He lives in a world where marijuana and getting high doesn't exist anymore.
Oh,
so
horrible.
So he's heavily sought after because he's the only person that can get you high in the world by touching you.
Oh, he's the last one of his kind.
He's the only one of his kind. He's a mutant.
Okay.
His power is getting people high.
Wow, he would definitely be sought after.
And that's why he was a good crime fighter, because he could chill people out and the real cops could come in.
Yeah.
But now, he lives alone. He doesn't want to go out into public because everybody wants to touch him and get high.
Oh, yeah.
Touch him or be touched by him.
His blessing is his curse.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then he meets a girl.
Yeah.
This is so... It's so crazy how mapped out this is, and I haven't done anything with it. He meets a girl who is really cute and young and the ideal girlfriend for a shut-in, because she's not that interested in the outside world. And she's an insomniac. Yes. And when he holds her, she falls asleep.
Oh.
And she's so desperate for sleep that she, like... doesn't mind that he's probably going to jerk off on her while she's sleeping.
that's where you go.
Because they can't actually...
That's a sharp left turn.
They can't actually make love, because if he embraces a woman strongly, they just get so high that they fucking pass out.
So it would only be rape.
But so with permission. Maybe we'll get it in writing.
Yeah.
but that's also not satisfying. How many times have you done it? It's never, you know, it never feels good.
To? You know what he'd be susceptible to, though? Drone strikes.
Oh, he's physically susceptible to a lot of things because he doesn't. His power is just getting people high. So that's another reason why, in a world gone mad,
yeah,
like in like Gotham City, he doesn't. There's not enough people around to. He's good at assisting law enforcement, but he can't be law enforcement.
Right. Yeah, because you don't have any. You can't punch hard.
Yeah,
and it'd still be you.
But he
to,
has
like,
a. But he has a superhero.
Push somebody over.
But he has a superhero friend. Is that Michael Keaton? He has a superhero friend.
That's a young Michael Keaton. Oh,
who's this girl? Like, who? Wow. She seems like she's coming here. Oh no, she's not. Just passing by.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Just smoking weed and podcasting.
That's the kind of Jewy hot that I'm now into. Like the young, like the young Jewlet, as Don would call it. It used to disgust me, and now I'm like sort of into it.
Girls are awesome. That's the bottom line. Do you ever watch the HBO show Girls?
No, but I heard I'm supposed to get into it. I heard
maybe
it's
you might
good.
Like it. I think
my the, artist.
Some of the guy
me.
Characters in it remind me of you a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. Like humor and attitude before thinking it through kind of behavior.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that. Yeah. What are we talking about? Me again?
They remind me of Brendan Walsh also.
Really? Humor and attitude before.
But you're mellower about it than Brendan. Somehow Brendan seems a lot more aggressive than me, to me.
He's more alcoholic. I'm more potty. That's what it is. No,
that's
I'm good.
That's totally what it is.
You finish that.
All right, then I'm gonna finish your joint.
I try to like get even dosages for tolerance. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, but what was I trying to? What point was I trying to make?
It was when we started saying, "You don't never want to jump first and think things out." God damn it, Doug Benson! All right, well, I'll take this to get back to that girl. So, what did you do like afterwards? Like how did you cope with it?
Oh, it was miserable because she was completely immersed in the same scene that I was in.
Oh,
you know, she knew all of my friends, was friends with a lot of them.
Oh,
it was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what happened both times. That turned me off to the idea of ever having a girlfriend. That's why I liked that girl that lived in San Francisco, because we had no mutual friends or scene or anything.
Yeah, you just want them out of your life.
So if she hurt me in some way, I'm safe.
You just want them out of your life. Natasha was sitting right there in that chair. I threw a glass of water in her face because she wouldn't get the fuck out of my life. You just want them out of
right,
there.
Right, but that's the thing. You know, you're in the same life with somebody. I mean,
yeah.
It's
horrible to deal with.
But even though that happened,
yeah.
I don't believe in the expression don't shit where you eat. I think if you meet and like someone who's in show business,
what else are you gonna
like
do?
Staying away is ridiculous.
Well, especially if you're like a beginning comic, who else are you hanging out with?
Yeah.
That's the only option.
And you shouldn't hold it against somebody that they're not in show business. You just got to find the person. Like Greg Proops's wife, have you met her?
Uh-uh.
They just seem so perfect for each other. She's beautiful. People might think he's gay. So that's awesome. But they both dress very nicely. They're both just
is she in comedy?
Nice
is
people.
She, like,
but
in
she
the
doesn't
biz?
Do stand-up.
Oh, okay.
She's not.
Yeah, it's great.
She, you know, but she comes with him to some things, but she clearly, you know, is over it and doesn't want to, you know, she's not like that person who wants to be at every show. Like, have you ever had a girlfriend or somebody you're hanging out with and you're doing like two show nights in a row and they watch all four shows?
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I hate it. Go find something else to do. But then they go find something else to do and I find out it's talking to some guy and I get mad at them. I'm just saying,
really?
In relationships, I'm never happy. I'm happy that I'm never happy. Like, that excites me.
So what'd you do? You drove them off like they wanted to hang out with you and you were like, no, get away? Or
well, yeah, that's the thing also. That still wanting to be friends thing drives me nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe in time. Maybe in time. But just get away
you get
from each other.
Too fast, right? But maybe you should. Just be like, let's just...
Unless you're holding... In both of their cases, I was holding out hope...
That you get back together.
That this new thing they moved on would be short-lived.
Uh-huh.
And that I'd get them back, which is like... ridiculous, because that's essentially just hoping that you get to be this guy that is willing to put up with a girlfriend that goes off and fucks some other dude. You know?
I guess so.
I mean, I never understood that. Like,
I never
that's love.
When
if you could
really
forgive somebody,
I was just like, and I know it was short lived, or I wanted to be short lived. I was just like, whatever. We'll just compartmentalize that as long as I'm back.
Right. I want it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beyond reason.
And I can't even imagine feeling that way about anyone anymore. And it's not those two girls' fault. It's those two girls telling me who I am. Because in both of those relationships, I know they were rolling their eyes a lot. Like, who wants to be with somebody that is saying and doing things that make you go ugh? Which is what a lot of married couples are like. Yeah. They groan about each other's habits and stuff. And to me, it's just like, oh, that's how you deal with it. You just act disgusted with the person. Like, oh, he farts all the time. Ugh. You know, it's just like, well. I want to be with a girl that doesn't give a shit that I'm farting, or that I respect enough to run out of the room and fart. You know, instead of ugh, you're gross. Ha ha ha! We're married. That was the perfect time for that same hot girl to walk by again.
Let's see, I got it right when you just tell me, oh, we're married. And your old lady voice.
Oh, man. She thought we were two gay dudes having it out with microphones.
She didn't know what to think.
What the fuck time is it? I got to be at a photo shoot in an hour.
Oh, really? Okay, let's get back to this thing then. So what did you do to him afterwards? Like, how did you handle it?
Well, a lot of stupid scenes, like the one you described, like a lot of storming out of places,
yeah,
or you know them leaving because I'm just giving them the hairy eyeball, or maybe one of my friends says something rude to them or something, you know, because like sometimes your buddies have your back too hard in those situations.
Yeah, did you ever want your friends to fuck with them? Be upset when they didn't
not
fuck
really,
with them?
Not really, but I do love it when my followers. Fuck with people that you know write shitty things to me on Twitter. Finally got the word Twitter out there. For a while after followers, I thought listeners might think that I'm some sort of cult leader,
but no, just social
but
media.
I just like if somebody writes something shitty to me and it's kind of funny, like
you
if I can
it.
Admit that it's amusing or poorly spelled is another one I like.
Yeah,
I'll retweet it, and then people are like, why are you giving those guys attention? And I'm like, well, you should see the attention they're getting, because I see when they include my name on all the tweets that they're writing back horrible things to that person.
Yeah.
And then that person's writing back stuff like, you know, oh, haha, well, you're just a fan of his, so you're going to defend him no matter what. Like, it's so, the argument is so funny because it's two sides that are, there's no way they're going to see eye to eye, and they're just going to have a pointless argument on the internet.
For no reason. And should you just set that in motion?
Well, attacking and defending me.
So you just set that in motion and like go.
Yeah.
Go deal with
and then,
whirlwind.
But then I get to watch it happen. And it's kind of satisfying. But I resist a lot of the time.
Nice.
But I block way too many people. And it's I talk like, about okay, Twitter go. Way too much on podcasts. So let's get back to girls.
So both your girls were in. Were
God,
in,
if Twitter existed when either of those girls had happened.
Yeah.
I'm trying to decide. Situation. I was going to say it would have been better, but maybe it would have been even a bigger nightmare. I don't know. Because if you could follow them and you're seeing like them talking to other guys and stuff on Twitter.
Yeah, you can see it. Oh, all that stuff. All the fucking spying on them.
Yeah, it gives you a more chance to stalk. You can be more like, oh, she didn't tweet all night last night. She must have been at some guy's house.
I still look for one girl.
Like I did some fucking, Facebook. You know, in the car the next morning outside her house shit to the first one.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad. But also, she would still go out with me every once in a while, and for a few weeks after we broke up, have sex with me every once in a while.
Oh, really?
Which is terrible.
Yeah, but it's...
But I encouraged
but
it.
It's, yeah, you wanted it, and it's like, fine.
I wanted to get a few more in.
I had that where you keep boning, and then it just becomes to stop it.
I've realized about myself that in both of those breakups, I just was... There were very attractive girls that I got along with on some levels, and that I pushed away by becoming too much of a dad, not a boyfriend. And
that's how you push them away?
Yeah, it's just a lot of, I'm just super bossy. And
who was the other one?
And also, I cannot stand this. This scenario drives me nuts. We're leaving the house. It's going to be cold. It's probably going to be cold out. You should get a coat. No, I'll be fine. Later that night, she's freezing, I'm freezing, and she's wearing my fucking coat. And I'm angry. And she's like, does not see why I should be angry. See, and I start talking
right
like that.
Yeah.
I see it. I start sounding like that. Who wants to fuck that guy?
Yeah.
That's just uptight about a stupid thing really about like who got their coat. What?
I remember you getting really emotional on, not emotional on a blog, but just talking so like lovey-dovey about one of them.
Really?
Yeah. And just going like, oh, pull it back, bro. I remember.
Yeah, I don't remember
feeling that.
That might have been somebody else. Like on MySpace?
No, just on blog.
Because I didn't have
a
blog
really
ever.
Great time with a great gal, or I don't know, something along those lines.
Friendster?
No,
is it on Friendster? Because this has been a while. I've been successfully pretty single and not really had a girlfriend for a long time.
Yeah, this is back in those days. It was about
I'm in the gay rumors zone, which is kind of fun.
Oh, really?
No, it sucks because I'm like, I'm gay enough that I, cool. I get that somebody could, you know, because I like Broadway musicals and I don't I can't produce a girlfriend. I can't prove that I'm having sex with women.
Yeah.
But... you know I'm not gay, but it's still like that's like calling a woman a cunt, calling a guy a fag. It's like it pushes my buttons
because
I want to be like, no, I'm not. Like I want to prove that I'm not, and it's like, why should I even care? Some stranger calls me a fag.
Yeah,
it's not a bad guess on their part. It's a possibility, but it's not. It's not, and but it still makes me. It angers me.
I get that feeling too. If ever somebody says that, it's like you want to be like, no,
because it's bully. It's also but it's like, also from a point of bullying. It's not even sometimes it's not even about sexuality. It's just like if a guy wants to be mean to another guy, because I'll do it with my friends. I'm guilty of it. It's just a it's just a thing you call each other.
This is a Jewish girl.
You know, I used to be really bad with the other F bomb, as they call it on TV.
Such a harsh one now. The other F-bomb. You can't. That's a hard one.
That was the one thing that drove me crazy about the pills girl. Is like if we were in the back of a cab,
she would yell at you.
No, she would. Well, she'd be very spirited in general because she was on pills. But she would drop a ton of F-bombs. And I never understand anybody that can drop F-bombs in front of like a complete stranger, especially one that's providing a service where they can't get away. They have to take you to where you're going.
Are we talking about fucks? Or are we talking about...
Yeah.
Fuck.
Or, you know, I mean, that would... I don't think she used the word fag much, but I'm just saying, any words that are generally considered offensive...
Yeah, she would just rain them.
Just raining them, and I would just be sitting there, and I know a few girls like that now. I was just hanging out with somebody who did that, and it's just like, it's just very, very weird to me. Like that some cab driver needs to hear all that you say fuck over and over again, because I cling to the idea that there's people out there that don't want to hear that. Or like the other day I was sitting in a jacuzzi and there was a guy in a pool smoking a cigar, and the cigar, like the way the wind was set up, the smoke was coming, it was just flying right at the jacuzzi, and I'm in a little circular jacuzzi. There's nowhere for me to go, but he could fucking go anywhere in this gigantic pool, and he just keeps smoking his goddamn cigar and blowing it right at me.
Yeah.
I think he might have been a homosexual, and he was trying to get me to come over.
It's a sign.
Get me to come over and yell at him, and then that's how he—that's how he flirts.
Yeah.
Hey, could you put that out? Oh, could you put that in?
So fucking stupid.
I'm a goddamn idiot. That's
so. Those girls.
I'm lucky. I found a way to make money doing it.
How long did it take? Because I only had one girl that was in the scene, and I had two other girls that stuck with me hard that were not. So I only had to deal with that shit once.
I had two in the scene girls. So on the second in the scene girl, I was deeper into her. I was more like she was like more like I fooled myself into thinking there was more potential for a real commitment there.
Yeah,
but. You know, I just came home one time from being on the road, and she had all her what stuff she had in my apartment because she stayed over a lot. She had it all, like, kind of packed up and...
To leave?
Yeah, and was just sitting there waiting for me, and I came in. This might be too private to be telling, but... Anyway. She... You know, just cut it off. You know, did a good job of cutting it off. You know, there was a lot of whimpering on my part. And then... But then just, like, the very next night, my best friend is having a birthday party, and she was... You know, in my mind, tangentially invited.
Yeah.
And not only does she show up, she shows up in a fucking crazy hot shirt that she either bought that day or had never worn while we were going out because I was such a prude about what she should wear.
Yeah. So you're just like, ah. Oh.
I mean, I think that was one of the death blows to our relationship, is she was a beautiful young person that needed to bloom and find a man to really love her and really be her husband.
Yeah.
And I was like, put a coat over that. That's too sexy. Like, I was trying to make her less sexy in public and just sexy at home.
Oh, really?
You know, that kind of thing.
And she was like, I want to be young and have fun.
Which I still kind of like. I like a girl that doesn't put it out there. And then when you get it, just the two of you, it's...
You're like, wow.
It's exciting, yeah. But even that, like, it's... There's no rules, I say. But yeah, so she's at this party, and yeah. I'm just like losing my mind.
You
and
think
I,
she
like,
was just trying to be like uber normal and say, well, I can wear this stuff, and I'm just going to go to this party, so I should not show up.
She just immediately was doing what she wanted to do. She wanted to be at a party where she was not my boyfriend and hanging out with all the great comics in Los Angeles and rubbing the same elbows that she got accustomed to rubbing by being... With
your
me,
girl, yeah,
you know, I mean, she was really ensconced in the stand-up comedy scene, and had a lot of friends that I wasn't friends with, that I didn't know very well, that I would just see because I would hang out with her.
What do you mean?
You know, like
to hang out with.
You know, like an example would be like David Taylor.
Oh right.
Yeah. I don't really know that guy. I just see him around. But we also ran in.
We were all
we
old
ran
mic
in different.
Together. That's why.
Yeah, you guys were like a generation behind me, or maybe more.
Yeah.
And so that's why...
Yeah, you were entrenched in the winner's circle when we came in. You were like...
I was already... I was doing okay. I was doing okay.
To us, you were in the winner's circle. It was you and Sarah and Zach.
But that was one thing that really, I think, also pushed her to go ahead and break up with me, was a few months before that, negotiations were going for me and Arch Barker and Tony Kameen to go to Off-Broadway to do... An open-ended run of the Marijuana Logs, and our contract was for like 6 months, but the date kept getting pushed back because they couldn't secure the right theater, you know, all that kind of theater shit, and show business in general, you know, just some things take a while to get going, and this got pushed back a couple times, but it gave us enough time to have the conversation. Well, when I do go, am I going with you? She wanted to go with me to New York.
Yeah.
So here's me.
Wow.
Thinking, oh, well, I'm going to live in a tiny apartment and be doing 7 shows a week in a place I've never lived before. And also, to be honest, I'm excited about, you know, meeting people there.
Yeah.
Like, I was already... trying to get her to break up with me by trying to explain to her why she couldn't move to New York with me
because she wasn't gonna enjoy it.
I was like, can I go for a month and then we'll decide whether or not you're gonna come. And she was like, really, like, ooh. Like started crying, I think, when I told her that, if I remember correctly.
Because that really is pretty much breaking up, now that you think about it.
It kind of is, yeah.
You're like, yeah, I want to come with you. We're gonna stay together. I'm gonna go with you. And you're like, no, that will not happen.
Yeah. Because I didn't want... it was already a big financial risk just for me to live there. Like, the apartment that I lived in Manhattan was like $2,000 a month or something.
Yeah.
You know? And it was a big leap for me. And she also... You know, in retrospect, it was the absolute right thing for me to do.
Yeah.
But then she broke up with me when I still had... You know, several months before I actually went to New York. So I had to be in LA and not know what's going on with New York and you know, I was upset that I'd see her around LA a lot, and I was upset that if I was in New York, I would always be wondering what she was up to in LA. You know, like it's so it's so terrible how what you do to yourself and what you go through.
It's
over,
so much
over
better
something
to break
that,
up with somebody when they're not in the scene. It's so much. You don't have to deal with any of that.
Yeah, it's
it
much easier, but it's still bad,
yeah.
And you got to be firm because it's that kind of threatening to get back together again thing that can be so difficult.
Yeah.
And in her case, she was around all the time, but she'd still let me call her and sob to her and try to get her back and all that kind of shit.
She
let too much of that go on. Like,
why?
I walked her to her car at that party.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, when she was like, well, I guess I'm going to leave, because I think she was just feeling the heat. And she was like, I'm just going to leave. And then as soon as she said that, I was like, I'll walk you to your car. And so that's talking all the way to the car, talking at the car.
Yeah.
You know, and it was all just my ego not wanting it to be over, and to be over so publicly. It was... Oh, hang on just a second. This is somebody I got to talk to about. Okay. You want to pause it? But the main reason I'm glad that I stuck to my guns on her not moving to New York with me,
yeah,
is because New York ended up being the best year of my life.
And you wanted to do that alone?
Like, I ended up having such... Well, being alone is what made it so great.
Yeah.
And it also... would have been miserable. We would have been in a tiny apartment with cockroaches. I'm sure she would hate cockroaches.
Yeah.
I would be paying for everything, and I'd have to go off and do a show and all the publicity that we... There was just a lot of responsibilities I was just like, I don't want a girlfriend sitting around for all this stuff. I knew that about myself, that I did not want to have her there for like... You know, to have a person there every night that you have to spend the night with, and you have to talk about your day with, and all that. You know, like.
But even though you didn't want her to do with that, you were still upset with the consequences of it, which is, oh well, then that means she's going to be a single girl.
Yeah.
Around my
Yeah, I didn't want to let her go, and I didn't want her to come to New York.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go to New York and see if, like, oh, maybe I'll meet other girls and I'll forget about her, and then I'll break up with her, like. But that I didn't think it through. I didn't think it through that much.
Yeah.
I just blurted out when she said, we're going together. I'm going to come with you, right?" I was just like, "Oh." Like, just pausing made her 1 foot out the door. You know, I should have known that I was, you know. So then when I'm all upset when she breaks up with me, she doesn't pull out the, "You just want to move to New York and not be with me anyway, you asshole." But she didn't know that, cuz I didn't make that clear. And I'm only saying it now because I'm looking
back at
you know, when she broke up with me, I was devastated. And now looking at it, I'm like, you went through a few hard months, you moved to New York,
and then
you were in a show about weed where every night interesting people and some crazy people would want to get high with you after the show in New York City.
Yeah.
Like, I was getting all the free weed I wanted. Plus, I was meeting all these people that, you know, deal with weed. So, like, there were, and it was amazing.
Just meeting weirdos and fun people.
Yeah, and just hanging out at the sushi bar across the street from the theater the show was in.
Wow.
So it ended up being a great year. So,
but how long did it bother you?
But I still, even after that year was over, still had feelings for her and wished we had gotten back together. It just was a few years ago that I finally went, why am I still pining for that?
What do you think?
I even wrote to her one time, which is completely rude and unfair.
Yeah.
And if I didn't feel like she'd rather just not hear from me, I would reach out to tell her this.
Yeah.
That it was I wrote to her something like, "I'm never gonna get over you," or something like
what?
That. Like, something really hard. You know, she wrote back, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but, you know."
Really?
And, or maybe she didn't even write back. I don't remember. But I just remember at the time.
What kind of response do you
want from that? At the time, it was more like me making a statement, having a mantra or a manifesto. Like, I'm just going to not fall in love with anybody else again. And it's because of that one.
Yeah.
But it's not her fault specifically. It's my fault.
And what about the first one? It wasn't the first one. The first one still lets you fall in love with somebody else.
She and I are kind of semi-friendly now. Like, we run into each other on occasion. I think I would say I kind of stalk her. Like, I'll write to her on Twitter when I see her in a commercial or something and say, "Hey, I just saw you." Because the thing about her The other one, we weren't really of a like mind. We just had different things we wanted to talk about and stuff. But the first one, she was just really entertaining to me. Just an entertaining person to be around because of the kind of that she was smart and funny and crazy.
The first one
was really was really entertaining, and I still miss that entertainment.
Didn't she
like I ran into her at a party once, and we just kind of both had drinks and talked about who we were going to try to hit on. And
she's fun. I see her auditions once in a while. I'm always like, you could talk to her.
That's where the first devastation came down was that she was so much fun, and I was so unable to keep her. You know, I was unable to keep it going.
Yeah.
But that was part of what's fun about her is even when you're in a relationship with her, she's kind of acting like she wants out.
Really?
Yeah. She's just, you know,
that's the way she
skittish.
Was.
She's just a spazzy person, but in a delightful way that makes her great for TV commercials because she can be like upset about her deodorant not working in under 10 seconds.
Honestly, in terms of doing shitty open mics, her being there made it way better. Just her, this super hot person that's just like one of us. Both of those girls, actually. Was like, we're these people now.
No, it was really sad what I was doing. I was picking the cutest wannabe comedians out of that group and making them mine.
Oh.
And that constant battle that would go with that because...
Oh, I didn't think of it like
in
that.
In the first one's case, she was very... Like, she'd come in and out of wanting to be a comic.
Yeah.
And in the second one's case, she was so dedicated that she spent all of her time watching comedy every night. Like, I'd have to wait up. Like, if I wanted to have sex with her, I'd have to wait up until 1 or 2 in the morning because she'd be at some open mic where she went on early and she felt like it was mean to the other comics to leave, that she had to stay.
Yeah. Westwood.
And I would tell her, you're never going to be a comedian if that's how you think.
That's how Westwood was. They all fucking looked at you. You have to get in the click and you stay to the end.
Look at every famous comedian you know. They never sat around and watched the rest of the show.
That's not true. Retta was part of it. She used to sit around. She was in
every
group
famous
of
comedian.
There was Cynthia Levin. There was
Retta is famous for a different thing, and she's amazing at it. I love her on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, maybe you're right, but that's what you had to do back then. Yeah, anyway.
They were both just extremely cute girls who liked comedy and were very funny.
Like 12, 13, 14 years in?
Huh?
You were like way into comedy already. You had been in it for a decade or more.
Dude, I started doing comedy like the second I moved to Los Angeles. When I performed on that stage right behind us, I was 22 years old. 22 going on 23.
Like how long
I'm 78.
So you've been so you really were picking out the open micers.
That's one way to look at it. I mean, I don't think I met the first one through the open mics, but the second one I met through just parties at Dave Rath's house.
Oh yeah, they'd be there.
And you know, she had a boyfriend, and I hit on her when she had a boyfriend, and then when that ended, I pounced.
Did she leave someone in the scene?
It was
for
ridiculous.
You?
Didn't leave him for me. Left him because turns out he was gay.
Oh. Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking the other one, and I was like, I don't know who you're talking about. Yeah, the other one, turns out. Yeah. That was before you.
Yeah.
That was a weird thing. We couldn't figure that out.
That's why I felt not too much guilt over the years about it. Plus, he's a great guy. The gay guy is a super cool guy and funny guy, so...
Oh, yeah, but that was a scandal that rocked the open mic. They were like, wait, what?
Yeah, I might have won a Scoomy for that.
They broke up, and he's been gay the whole time? Wait, but he was dating the super cute one? How did he get her?
That's how he got her, is because she's
guy
not...
He doesn't want it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. She's perfectly sexual, but she also was like... She's just really smart. She was always, like, on the computer. When she'd come over to my house, she was always on my computer reading, like, websites that, like... Just now I'm starting to understand many years later because I'm more politically aware now than I was then. Like, she just knew so much more about the world and also was also one of those kind of progressive, you know, conspiracy types, you know.
Oh, really?
A little bit, yeah.
The second one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's really smart.
Taylor knew her a lot better.
And the guy she ended up marrying is really smart. Like, I think she's just sitting around being smart.
Yeah.
And her best friend was super smart, and I was always intimidated by her, and she was always...
And she's winning. She's
acted
really
different. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. But that was, that's all on me. Like, if you're going to fall in love with a child and think it's going to work, then, you know, you deserve, well, maybe I don't deserve all of what happened, but I deserve enough of it.
So they both went to someone from you to somebody else in the scene?
Pretty much immediately, yeah.
Wow.
But the second one was a guy that I didn't really know, so that helped a little bit.
Okay. I don't remember who she went out with.
But the first one, you know, there's probably a few hearts have been broken by her over the years.
Just boom, boom, boom.
Then the next guy after me, it did not go well. Did not go well, ultimately.
Really?
Yeah. But he's over it and married now to an awesome girl that I met when I was in New York that one year that I was there, coincidentally.
Yeah. It's weird. There's just a few of them that just stick with you. Where it's like, just something. It broke you in certain ways, or what is it?
Yeah, well,
there's artists I went out with, and it's the same thing that I can't just
yeah,
never quite get over.
It all of it informs your how you're going to be moving forward. You know, you may not change completely as a person, but you can kind of hopefully navigate your own peculiar traits and attitudes about things.
What do you mean?
You know, like you just got to let go of some stuff.
Oh yeah.
Like in my case, you know, if I do get serious about someone, I really do want them to be my friend and my like sort of partner, mm-hmm. as opposed to someone that I'm like
not really
telling what to do
with.
And aggravated that they're late all the time. I always date girls that are late all the time, and then I get aggravated with them being late all the time.
Oh, I love being late. Tell me those girls' names, because
I'm the prompt pot smoker. Unfortunately,
the girl I'm dating now is late all the time. Whenever I'm like, oh, I'll try to get there soon, she's like, oh, I haven't started getting ready yet. I was like, oh fuck yeah, because I haven't left yet. When I said traffic's bad, I haven't even left.
Well, that's good if you're on the same like lazy page. But I'm ready to go. Like I can't. It's like Woody Allen again in Annie Hall.
I'll walk to the curb from here.
I can't watch a movie after it started.
All right.
I can't get to a movie late. That's not happening.
I find girls keep me young too.
Like the second one.
Yeah.
We had tickets to like a premiere screening of the second. I think it was the second or third Matrix movie.
Yeah.
So we're already in kind of a bad mood because I think it was the third one. I think we're already kind of a bad mood because like why even bother to go see that?
Yeah.
But after the second one, but you know, there's that whole hope that it's going to turn around or whatever. Yeah. And,
no, they're setting shit up. They're shutting shit up.
Yeah, so I had tickets to this thing, and it was a radio screening, and I knew a girl at K-Rock is how I got the tickets, and blah, blah, blah. It was one of those things where we were just running late, and she wasn't doing anything to help us from running late, and then when we finally got there, I was so aggravated, and then for whatever reason, there was technical problems, or because it was a premiere, they had a delay. They started like 20 minutes late.
So
we had to sit there, her fuming because I was fuming about getting there on time, and me fuming because, you know, it was just like
her lateness didn't hurt you?
Her lateness didn't hurt, but the fact that it could have doesn't take away the fact that she was just willing to be super late. You know?
I find being around the younger people just helps me let go. Helps me stop from becoming uptight. Like, I don't want to turn to, you know.
Well, that's what I do now is I take Alec Baldwin's advice from an episode of 30 Rock where he says never go to a second location with a hippie.
Yeah.
I always make sure I have my own escape routes. Like, I don't just go to somebody's party in the middle of nowhere that they take you to after the show. I used to do stuff like that.
Yeah, I do that stuff.
Yeah, I don't do any of that anymore. Now I've always got an escape.
Why?
I've always got an escape route. And
on San Francisco on New Year's, you were out of there. I thought that might have been it because you're like, oh, they're outside smoking. I'll be outside. I'm like, he's got that twinkle in his eye, that Jared Grody, you're never going to see me again look.
Yeah, I either had something else fun to go do or an idea of something else fun to go do, or I was just psyched about going to sleep.
Yeah.
But either way,
you'll say goodbye.
I don't go around and say goodbye to everybody. No, I don't mess around with that stuff. So
Jared taught me that. It's so good, too. Plus, everybody thinks you're there for another 30 minutes, so it's like you spent more time at the party.
Yeah, if they can't, because that's the question I get all the time. What time did you leave last night? Oh, I think I left right, you know, when it was kind of dying down? That's when I took off.
It feels lame just to be like,
you know,
I just want to leave.
When there's only 5 or 6 people left, I took off. Because then, in their mind, when there's 8 or 9 people, Doug could have been one of them. He could have been in the bathroom. He could have been outside. you know, you can always miss somebody.
Yeah.
But yeah, so do you like podcasts and ambulances?
Yeah, it'll probably pick up a little bit. They're pulling somebody over
right
now.
Oh, it's cops. Is this an illegal podcast? Wow.
So they had the SWAT team here?
Oh, no. He's trying... Who's he trying to get?
Called. I don't know.
No, he's shooting past people. He's on his way to a scene.
Yeah.
He's on his way to something. But I didn't see that girl's face. Was she cute?
Yeah, she's pretty cute.
From behind, she looks like it could go either way because she's got... When a girl's got really long hair, that to me is like a sign that maybe she's making up for something else.
You know, I always think, oh, hot, and then get to the front. I'm like, oh, why would I just the hair?
It's such a fun game, though. I'll never get sick of.
Let me get ahead
I'll
of this
never
person
get
so I can
sick
see
of seeing the other side.
Yeah.
I just always want to see the other side. I want to see all of it.
Do you do the?
And I don't care if I'm walking down the street with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at other girls. That is something we're never going to have that argument because that is just going to happen. Like when I watch a TV show like Whitney, where she's yelling at Chris D'Elia for looking at other girls.
Yeah.
I'm like, he should just say, oh, well, you're not going to change this at all, no matter how much you talk to me about it. So
I tried to explain it to the one
And they're
now.
Like, be less obvious about it. Like, why? Why do I have to be less obvious
some
about it?
Some weird-looking thing. Some super hot. You don't normally see things like that.
Yeah. I'm going to just stare straight ahead and try to catch it with my peripheral vision.
Too. If a midget walks by, I'm going to look at that. If it's a car wreck, I'm going to look at that. If there's a 9.5, I'm going to look at that.
If somebody you're following has a picture link, I'm going to click on it and look at it. And so somebody might send me a picture of a girl. Or a girl might send me a picture of a girl.
Yeah. That's just what you do.
Yeah, so... but you could see how I'm a ball of why would anyone want to be in a long-term relationship with me. So it works out good because I date a girl for a while and then she meets a guy that she becomes more serious about.
And
in some cases, I can actually remain friends.
Okay.
So I am not in the least bit upset or not looking forward to tomorrow being Valentine's Day. Like, I don't... It doesn't...
Are you, like, happily single now? That's how I feel. I
dare
like,
say...
Yeah, I date people, but, like,
I dare
whatever.
Say that I am happily so, yeah.
Yeah. So when Valentine's Day comes, that's another non-pressure holiday for you completely.
Yeah, I don't have to do anything, but there's a few people in my life that I really like, and will say hey to.
Yeah,
my mom will get a phone call
for Valentine's Day.
Yes,
oh, that's nice.
She gets all the holidays, and every time a plane I'm in lands.
Well, maybe I'll get
is
her
when
flowers.
I call my mom.
Maybe I'll get my mom flowers. That could be cool.
Oh yeah, that'd be good. That's a good idea. Or maybe I'll just pay for everything she has. Maybe I'll do that.
Jesus! Not that level.
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's another reason to not be excited about getting into a real relationship and a marriage and everything is that, I pretty much support my mother.
Really?
And, yeah.
Wow.
And, you know. So having more financial burden on top of that probably wouldn't be much fun.
Oh, yeah. How come you support your mom?
Because she doesn't, you know... My dad died. She's alone.
No, you explain.
No one
the
else.
Right thing
no one else
is.
In my family is a semi-successful comedian.
Yeah. Wow, that's really nice. Support your mom.
I try in all of her endeavors.
Yeah.
We go to movies together. Every time I see her, we go to a movie together, and she gets to pick. So I sit through some horrible movies
really?
On her behalf.
I don't do that stuff with my mom. That's
not. But I'll see anything. I'll see anything.
Because you will, right?
Now, I've gotten so good at, like, I can sleep sitting up because I fly so much, and that's when I get my sleep, because I stay up all night smoking pot, and then I fly the next day on the plane, and I sleep. And I can just fall asleep on a dime. Like, if this chair had a back on it, it wasn't a stool, I could just sit here and fall asleep for a little while.
Straight, yeah.
Yeah. I don't have narcolepsy, but I'm good at going to sleep.
On planes.
And I can do it anytime, day or night, even after having a coffee. So...
Nice or a problem.
So if I'm watching a shitty movie with my mom, I can just sit there and fall asleep.
Sleep next to her?
Yeah.
I was really
tired. I could sleep for a while.
At that, when they had the Wild West comedy tour, they had the premiere, the Vince Vaughn's Wild West comedy.
I went to that. We had sushi down the street after.
Yeah, yeah. It was a fun party.
I'm trying to remember. I remember.
That's when Eliza Schlesinger had her coming out party.
I brought a girl I was really trying to impress.
I'm not chubby anymore, and she came out in a black miniskirt.
Who?
Eliza Schlesinger.
She used to be chubby?
She used to be chubby when she got to the scene. And she had the same hot girl attitude, but it's a real, not like a little, like legit. But then, like legit chubby. But then it was like, how is she batting like this? And then she came out at that party, and it was like, God damn it. Where did this body come from? It was like she knew that.
I don't remember having that reaction because I had worked with her a few months before or something, and she's always been svelte to me.
Oh, really? Wow.
But that kind of explains why her boobs are so big, though.
Oh, yeah. Somebody tried to heckle on stage. And
you can't put your boobs on the elliptical.
And go. He goes,
I guess you kind of can. Ass.
And she goes, yeah, I know. I work out. What did you say? You can't put them in
the elliptical. She owns it. She owns the shit out of it. None of this conversation would upset her.
Oh, no. She works hard at that body. Anyway, what were we talking about?
She looks so good on that. I love her on that dating show where she just is. It just insults everybody and looks hot. She's just sitting there all hot, insulting people.
What show is that called?
You know, Dismissed or something.
One of them.
Get the fuck out. Shut up, asshole.
Aisha Tyler did one of those once. Oh. She hosted one. Oh, you gotta go soon.
Yeah, I gotta go. I got a photo shoot to get to.
There was something else I wanted to ask you, but I fucking... Oh, well. Hold on, let me look at my
more relationship stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Why do you think those were so much harder than the other ones? Are those the only relationships you had? No.
No, I've had other girlfriends that are way varying lengths. Like one girl that I broke up with, we moved in together almost instantly.
Yeah.
Because I got her right off the bus. She moved here from New York, and I was like, you're cute.
Let's go.
I'm on it. And she was like crashing with friends for a few nights, and I was just like, no, crash with me. And then we became a couple.
Living
together, couple, wow. Both comedians.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was. That part of it was pretty bad at times. Pretty bad at times. She, you know, I was smitten with her, and in that way where you just can't let go, even though you're getting to know them better, getting to know each other better, and it was just becoming for her. I was a better fit for her. Like she's a girlfriend that after living together for a while, she told me that she didn't like me smoking pot all the time and asked me to cut back.
Yeah.
Or no, quit. She asked me to quit.
And, did you?
And I did.
Do you not smoke pot anymore?
I did in front of her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd smoke whenever I was hanging out with Posehn and my other smoking buddies. And
I quit cigarette smoking for a girl once.
Well, that's good for you.
I guess, but it's like I wasn't doing it for myself.
Hey, any reason to do it, you know, it's just like whenever I'm on the fucking treadmill or something, I'm thinking, well, this is so that girls will not think I'm disgusting.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You know, so quitting smoking is another one where...
But I would do it and then have to rinse mouthwash when I got to her place and try to cover it up.
Right. That's harder to cover up than weed.
Like, I can still do it.
I got away with it a lot. I was high around her quite a bit. But,
oh, really?
But thinking I was getting away with it. Maybe she was thinking I was... But that relationship ended very badly because I just one day... I just said, you know, you can move out or I'm going to move out, but it's over and there's no, you cannot convince me otherwise. Because I just got, I was.
Do you think those?
She was so into domestic, like she wanted me to come home at the end of the day and eat a meal that she prepared, fucking love it and go on and on about how much I love it. And then watch the TV shows she wants to watch. And, you know what I mean? Like it was, she just wanted to pin me the fuck down. But at the same time, I wasn't good enough at any of that stuff. Yeah. So, like, if I don't tell her how good the food is, you know, I mean, this is typical relationship stuff, but stuff that I, since her, have never experienced again because I refuse to. I refuse to be in a relationship with somebody who gets mad at me if I'm not complimenting her on the food she cooked.
Was this
that I did not ask her to cook. I'm fine with eating dinner out. I'm fine with ordering a pizza.
Was this after the other two girls?
No, this was before them.
Before them?
Yeah.
But this one didn't stick.
This was when
I was
dating someone that was actually my age and living with her. I dated and lived with a woman who was my exact age for a while.
Really?
Yeah, our birthdays were only a month apart. I'm a lot older than Sarah.
Oh.
And never lived with or dated her.
Oh. But why do you think this one didn't stick with you as hard as the other ones? Like what makes...
Well, I mean, it sticks with me, but in a different way, in a... everything I think that she was doing wrong sort of way, like
Oh, right.
She was telling me I can't smoke pot. She was, you know.
You're just not into it.
Like, I had a day job at the time, and it was like, you know, she if I had to work late, then there's that stress of, like, your boss is fucking making you work late, and you're trying to create something on a deadline, and then there's a woman sitting at home that is, like, calling every once in a while and angry that you can't get out of there. It sucks.
Yeah.
When you're just going to go hang out with some friends and smoke some weed, you can get there as late as you need to get there or not show up at all.
Oh, so the other ones broke up with you, and that was the difference.
No, because... Yeah, probably. But that is a big difference. But there's lots of girls that have broken up with me. Those aren't the only two.
Yeah. So I'm saying, what do you,
I've been in lots of relationships where the girl decided to call it off. Yeah.
But those, I'm saying, those hurt for like a month or something, and then you sort of get over it.
You sort of do, but that but part of it is that
just stick with you for years.
Yeah, but like, also those people, they tended to not be so fully enmeshed in my world.
Right.
So when it did end, you know, we didn't have to see each other a lot, so it's easier to keep it ended, you know.
Right.
But
yeah, I don't know.
There was one girl for a few years that, like, every time she wasn't in a serious relationship, we'd you know, just randomly hook up, and it was always great, but neither of us were ever interested in being with each other. And that sort of thing, overall, I think is a complete fantasy. Someone's going to be emotionally committed
slightly more
when you make love.
Oh, yeah. The idea is complete.
One
nothing.
Of the two of you has to be...
Really?
Well, I mean, there's some...
I don't think
so. I guess there's genuine swingers out there.
Yeah, I think that's true. Just people are like, yeah, you look whatever, I want to... Let's do it.
But I think that it falls on the woman more than the man, but I just think that having sex with somebody, one person's more into it than the other. You can't, it's really hard to be equally into it.
Oh, yeah, equal anything, yeah.
So that leads to, you know.
What? Getting attached to
trouble.
That's fine. Most people can handle it.
I'm looking for that thing that would make me want to marry somebody. Like, I'm interested in that because I haven't seen it.
I feel like I'm
Like, I'm thinking maybe somebody that you... creatively can collaborate with.
Yeah.
Like, those seem to work sometimes. People that kind of actually work together and are married. But they also, those also go down in a ball of flames sometimes,
too. Every situation goes down in flames. Everyone's like, well, my friends so-and-so are happy, and they do this. And you're like, you don't know they're happy, first of all. And
yeah,
20 people just
true.
Like that have broken up and tried to stab each other.
That's very true that you don't know.
Yeah. Every time you think somebody's super happy... Because they lie to you. All right, we'll leave soon.
Two more minutes.
What should we...
2 minute warning.
2 minute warning. What should we... Let's... Well, do you think... So, would you get married again if you found someone like that, or would you not even bother?
First of all, I've never been married.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that was me. Yeah.
Just lived with somebody who... That was the funny thing about her, is at one point, I wanted her to marry me.
Yeah.
At one point, I was more desperately into her, and I tried to get her to marry me in Vegas, and she refused. And then we came back
oh, really?
To L.A.
Whoa.
No, we were just there in Vegas. I think I was working, or I don't know why we were there, but I tried to get her to go to one of those quickie wedding things.
She wouldn't do it.
And she wouldn't have it. I was lucky that she wouldn't have it, because that worked out great. And then we came back here, but then after, like, just became a lot of, you know, she didn't like some of my friends, and that, you know, she didn't like me hanging out with them, especially, like, female friends, and it's just a lot of stupid weirdness that was from her. And now, to this day, I know, you know, hopefully she'll never hear this or hear about it, but she's just not
what?
She's just not someone that I could be compatible with.
If you could go back to get those girls, like, if they could go back to where they were right then and meet them again right now, like the 20-year-old version of one, the 23-year-old version of the other,
I'd be excited to meet them, and I would certainly try to bone them.
You would,
to put
okay.
it your way.
Yeah,
I would try to make love
with
them.
Try to, like, go out with them again,
and I would try, and I would, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't go
anymore,
into it looking for a girlfriend like that.
Right.
I think that was my problem. Is that, like, and it's a lot of people's problem. Is that coupling is so important to people.
Yeah.
And that you got to have, you know, like I see, like, people on Twitter, you know, complaining about being single all the time. And it's just like, grass is always greener. Like, whenever every town I perform in where I'm in a club where it's 21 and over,
yeah.
somebody will tweet at me, I'm only 18, I'm only 19.
Yeah.
Please get me in. Please sneak me in. And I write back, grow up. Because they're going to, probably.
one in three people lives to 100 now.
Right. Yeah. They're going
they're
to
going to grow up. They're going to be 21. When I was under 21, there was shit I wanted to go to, but I couldn't tweet to you know, David Letterman, get me into the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Cuz I want to see your comedy and I have to see it now. And at least now they can watch tons of it and hear tons of it on the internet for free.
Wait, what does this like, have to do with would you date one of those girls now?
I don't know. I just went off.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. Well,
I just went off on a crazy tangent about. I'm just saying that there's more access now. Is that my point?
To what?
To
people.
To everybody. Yeah. Like, I would have, you know, who knows what would have happened to me in my career if I was in my 20s when Twitter came out.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I don't know if I get... if more great things would happen or if I get into more trouble, you know? Because that's the thing, is I just don't really... I like to know that a girl's not going to be, you know...
Pain in the ass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to know that before...
No, but that's adult. That's fine. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be with someone you're compatible
right,
with.
Right, but so I go through all of that... And yeah, so I just never come out the other side. I'm never like, oh, this person, I want all of this all the time with, you know. But like I was saying earlier, maybe, you know, it might be like somebody that I collaborate with, or maybe somebody that does something that I find spectacularly impressive, but that also doesn't like going out with an actress is tough because she's going to go make out with some guy.
Yeah. I'm sort of the same way. I'm just like, yeah, once or twice a week. That's about, let's have that as a relationship. Text and stuff, but let's just like, what? Let's have our own time.
Yeah.
Our own time is good. We're not 16.
Well, also, I hate being in a relationship and being on the road because you either have to try to bring the person along all the time or you just miss each other.
Oh, yeah.
And either case, it, you know, it just creates more like, you know, with... especially with the second one, like my constant just travel was a bad thing too. You know, it was like, you know, like, because it takes the fun out of being a road comic.
Yeah.
That you're missing someone. Someone's upset you're not there. You can't
the road,
even flirt with anybody.
The opposite effect on my open marriage live-in wife, where it just rejuvenated the relationship. Just spending 4 or 5 days away from each other. If something happens, so be it. But usually nothing would. And then coming back like, oh, I missed you.
I know a bi-coastal couple that they both have serious roots in the opposite coast that they just visit each other as often as they can.
Really?
And they seem to be making it work.
Wow.
But I haven't talked to them in a while, so
but it's
maybe,
like, why not?
Maybe it's over.
All right. I'll let you go.
How long do you think it'll take me to get to Crescent Heights from here? 10 minutes? Walking.
Walking?
Yeah.
Oh.
Crescent Heights.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be good.
Yeah.
I got 11.
What do you want to promote?
Oh, yeah.
Happy Valentine's Day, losers and couples.
Monday here in Los Angeles, I'm doing one of my Benson Interruption podcast tapings at Meltdown Comics on Sunset. And then I've got
Meltdown's a cool place.
Doug Loves Movies tapings coming up in like Denver and Austin and Atlanta.
Well, that'll be
stand
cool.
Up also in most of those places. And yeah, just go to douglovesmovies.com and all my crap is there. And I'm seriously chatting with Chill about
doing a special?
About something.
I'll tell you what, man. They were fucking on it the whole way, and they got me on a radio tour.
I saw your
promotion page.
You and Bamford looking good.
Yeah. Once they dropped Bamford's name, I was like, oh, really? Maybe you guys are legit. Yeah. Like, really? How about that?
They
like,
dropped your name in my meeting, and that made me take pause.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. My special is Passive Aggressive. Doug Benson on Twitter, at Doug Benson. Get my special from chill.com. Now it's $5. What's up, man? How are you? We're just finishing up. Okay. You're a heartbreaker, dream maker. Don't you mess around me. You're a heartbreaker, dream maker. Don't you mess around. All right, you guys, that's it. That was the episode. I enjoyed the fuck out of it. That's one of the reasons I like doing this podcast, because I get fun and, at the same time, deep conversation with a guy who normally doesn't talk about the stuff they talk about. Man, I really like that one. And what a fun, it was just a fun day sitting outside of the Comedy Store. Doug, the weird thing about Doug's breakups is that they were different than mine. The three that really hurt me, it was Natasha and this girl Kate, who I lost my Natasha Legero, and this girl Kate, who I lost my virginity to. She was like the first one. She won't talk to me anymore. And then the one that, and then the artist, Ashley. Man, it's just like you never stop thinking about them. Kate was probably the worst. She won't even talk to me anymore. At least I'm friends with Ashley. I have three different levels of having broken up and been some sort of bad boyfriend afterwards. Although I was pretty nice to Ashley. From Ashley, we're still friends. Natasha and I barely ever talk. I just say hi to her when I see her. And Kate won't talk to me. Man, that always still bugs me. Still bothers me. She won't talk to me. Didn't even break up under bad terms. I used to call her, what's it called? Her voicemail at work, where she worked, just so I could hear her voice. Why would you not talk to a guy who you lost your virginity to? Eh, whatever. Anyway, so that's the episode. Everyone, please go get my special. That was fun. Those girls stopping by was a lot of fun, too. Get my special, Passive Aggressive. You can get it at chill.com. Like, chill out, chill.com. They're like, leading the way for this new type of release, of self-release. They're talking to Doug about doing one. They're talking to Diaz about doing one. And it's just, this is the way the comics are going to be able to do their own shit with no standards. It's just my version of what a funny hour is. You got to just get it. It's hilarious. People love it. And if you get it, tell all your friends. It's $4.99. You're not going to get a better bargain for this. I worked a year of my life working harder than I've ever worked before at stand-up. So it's $5. You'll laugh your ass off. I guarantee it. If you really hate it, just tell me and I'll give you your money back. Good luck getting that out of me. So yeah, chill.com. Go there right now. Go there right now. While you're still listening, go there right now. Chill.com and just PayPal them $4.99. You don't have to get any of the add-ons, the bundles. You don't have to get any of that if you don't want to. Just get the special at least. Everybody who's listening, fucking... Anyway, let me sleep easy. If I just make them their money back, then I'll sleep easy. Like, I know I can do this again next year. They said it'll be a couple months before it happens. But I just wanted to go now. All right, so... That was the episode. Oh, what did I have to say about this? Yeah. What I noticed from Doug talking to me about it was that I could relate to everything he did. When it was like, at some point you look back on those relationships and you think like, well, what were they supposed to do? And what would I do in the same situation? What they did isn't that bad. When he's like, oh, she showed up, you know, dressed up. It's like, well, yeah, he's right. What was she going to do? She wanted to reassert herself that she's an independent part of this community. Like, what is she going to, like, hermit up at home for 6 months? Anyway, just, there's zero point of holding on to any hatred for people. It just doesn't do you any good. It ends up just spiting yourself. Every time Natasha would come into a room, I'd have to, like, my heart would have to skip a beat. I'd have to worry about being there and acting uber natural. We were at this party once. And it was the same thing Doug had, but she was there and I wasn't talking to her because I was always hardlining it. But hardlining with every girlfriend I ever had. That as soon as we're done, we have to be done. And then she was just there, like she spilled something on her coat and she had to like try to get it off her. And who was it? Not Aaron Lee. Not Boris Hamilton. Who am I thinking of right now? Was making fun of her. Joe Wagner. Joe Wagner was like, he was a little tipsy and he was like, hey, it's not, like making fun. And she so didn't want to be called attention to because she was like 5 feet away from us from where I was in a kitchen of some hotel, not a hotel room. It was at Morgan Murphy's birthday party. And God, I was just such a cunt. Why couldn't I just say, hey, how are you? You would have been friends. It would have been so much easier. God. It's when you stop thinking about them at all anymore, when you like, Let those people just like completely go out of your mind. You're like, what an asshole I was. So wasn't worth it. I'm really glad I wasn't like that with Ashley. But I guess that's the point. Like, you have these experiences, you realize where you made mistakes, you analyze, you know, your actions, and then you just try to live better next time. Try to take that into account the next time and not make the same mistakes again. So anyway, thank you, Doug Benson, for coming by and talking to me. Everyone follow Doug on Twitter, at Doug Benson. Follow me on Twitter, at Ari Shaffir. I have the 2013 tour shirts are on sale now at my website, as are the Punch Drunk t-shirts. They're really cool, but we only have like 30 of them. So if you get them, there might be a solid chance that I refund you your money if I'm sold out of those sizes. But until then, go ahead and get them all. Okay, I think that's it, right? Don't forget, chill.com. Go right now. $4.99. Go right now. So, I don't know. There's something else I was going to say, but I forgot what it was. So, I think about this, though, about dating and relationships or stuff like that. Oh, I know what it was. For any comics listening, I agree with Doug 100%. You can totally date in the community. You just have to know going in that this will happen when you break up. They will be around you. And you either handle it like an asshole, like I do, or you handle it like an adult and say, hey, this is just a bad situation for us. It's a little uncomfortable. Let's just get over it the best we can. And man, I saw Eliza and Brett. They handled it perfectly. They're just so friendly. You know, she'll say hi to him. She'll give him a hug when she sees him. She asks about his parents. That's like nice. Anyway, I actually think that's what made me get like sort of like make friends again with Natasha. I saw Eliza give a hug to Brett and like a kiss on the cheek and say, I think ask about his parents. And I was like, what am I doing? Why am I living this fucking stressful life for no reason? Anyway, all right, so that's it, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you, Doug Benson, for tuning in, for coming and talking to me, I mean. Don't forget about Amazon. Go to Amazon. Go through my website, arithegreat.com, to go through the Amazon link. If you bookmark my website, also go there for all my dates. But if you bookmark my website and bookmark it as Amazon, then you'll remember to, every time you click Amazon, it'll just go to my website, click the Amazon link. And for Canadians, click on the link on the right, the black one, the Amazon.ca. Ew. So that's it, you guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 102. Maybe it should be the girls that hurt. Maybe something like that. The girls that hurt. The girls who hurt us. The girls who hurt me. The ones who hurt. Fuck. Maybe the girls who hurt. Nah, the ones who hurt me. I'll just listen to what I said in the first one and just go with that. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness.